WJS.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Yeah, well, we'll take it on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh.
You're on the air.
Hold on. Let me turn down my radio. good morning, gentle person. It's nice to hear you on the radio. There are not enough female or lady talk show hosts.
Thank you.
It's nice to hear one. And I really am enjoying the theme of your show. And I subscribe to one of the previous callers' opinion that I think larger women just give you more love.
Personally, I think we're snuggly.
I think you're very snuggly. The more rolls, the better, I would say. Though I do subscribe to Dr. Don Geronimo's theory that the deeper the belly button, the fatter the woman.
Okay.
Or is it the fatter the woman,
the deeper the belly button?
No, actually, it's the fattest woman on earth must have the deepest belly button.
I would say so. What's your first name?
Rudy.
I'm glad to meet you.
Now, since it's rare to have a woman on the radio, would you mind if I...
Well, gee, were you able to dump it? Thank you. So sorry. So sorry. That's what happens when you take live calls.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Can't wait forever.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
Not here, friends.
How do you do?
Don and Mike Show. Stinking Monday.
Not stinking as much.
Hello, you can call us at 877-365-3636. I want to hear, you know, here's the thing.
Yes.
I'm asking a rhetorical question.
Yes.
Want to hear, and I know you'll say no, so I'll just push through. Why ask if you want to hear something when I think generally the response from everybody would be no?
Well,
shut up, dummy.
Are you looking for honest answers?
No.
You're looking for a rhetorical yes.
Just like,
or sure.
Want to know? Yeah, sure.
All right, well, want to know what? You said want to hear.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Well, want to hear.
Just two problems. I hate to be a negative Nelly. Just two problems.
That's not
out
like
there.
You.
Just two problems out there in the service industry,
all right,
that have come to my attention. One of them today, one of them over the weekend. There's a Starbucks. One of the places I'm going to mention by name, because who cares? They're Starbucks, and they're a freaking giant, and they could live without me as a customer, or as it turns out.
I heard a statistic. They open like a different store every 45 seconds, some amazing statistic like that.
Hey, and the other thing from the store is someone who's a client, who I know is a client, and I got to be careful about that. Can I write it down for you?
Yes, please do.
It's,
must be a long-term client if you're aware of it.
Well, you see that?
They are a client.
I know they are. They spend
a lot of money.
Tons of dough. There you go, Rob. You see that? Rob, they're a good client, right?
Yeah.
They're a good client.
I like them.
So let me just say, I'm in the store.
But can I say before you even start?
Yes.
Whatever it is,
yeah.
I can certainly understand why. At that particular place.
Really?
You're right. Great store right up in Gulf.
Well,
to do with people. What are you saying?
Hello.
You're
Don. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike. How are you?
Hi, we're great. Thank you.
Hey, you were just called out, guy.
Who was
Jim Rome?
Jim Rome?
Yeah. He ended the show with the Rosie O'Donnell stuff you were playing the other day on your radio.
Yeah.
And he wants you to call him. He called you out.
What do you mean he called us out? How so?
To talk about you. Go head up with him.
With Jim Rome?
Jim just heard it a few minutes ago.
Give us a specific. What's his name? We'd love to. We could beat him. We could beat him up. What's JR got to say?
James?
Hello?
Thank you, Bart. Yes.
Well, what did he say specifically?
He didn't say anything. Get out of here. Right, get out of here. I know the guy's full of crap.
There you go.
Full of crap.
I just full of crap. You're full of crap. He didn't see nothing. You're full of crap.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, hi. Don, Mike, Buzz, everybody. Hi.
Hey. Last week I was coming home from Chantilly headed towards Markham, and you guys always share a lot of information about funny stuff that happens to you where I'm on my bike.
Chantilly lace, had a pretty face, had a bone in hair,
really
down, had a face to walk, had a face to talk.
Oh, baby, that's what I like.
And then that's bam.
Had a bad stomach all week long and was racing to get home so I could go to the bathroom. And sure enough, Virginia's Finest comes out, pulls me over. So I'm grabbing my midsection.
I think this is the guy. This is the guy that says, blank your pants.
Is this the crap your pants guy?
No, this isn't the crap your pants guy. I'm a guy who lives right here locally. I was just...
Okay.
Anyhow, I try to give him my information, and I'm pulling everything out and lost traction completely. And he just stared at me for about 3 minutes, and then he says, lost traction.
Lost control of his bowel.
Exactly.
And I don't like that expression.
Well,
lost traction. You know why? Because I don't think it gives you enough information.
That's true.
You know, it's losing. Obviously, you've heard it before.
I just surmised from his setup.
But when you say something, it sounds like it's coming from Moses. And it sounds like it's 100% accurate where Buzz says, lost control of his bowels. Now, it's like a common... Have you ever heard that expression for losing control of one's bowels?
No, I only figured it out because Joe just put it on the screen for me. Joe just put this guy S himself while he was sitting on his motorcycle.
So Joe got it, too. Well, where do you guys line up on the lost traction comment?
I don't like it.
No, I'm not a fan.
I don't even know if I'm a fan of this call. I mean...
Well, me neither.
We serenaded this fellow with a beautiful version of Chantilly Lace.
You did?
We heard nothing in response. He just piled right on through.
So you...
Hold on, what is this?
This is a good tape for this guy. Actually, it applies to me as well.
A tape for this guy?
Yeah.
Is this your butt tape?
That's my commercial. Butt.
Rob wants everyone to know his butt is still bleeding.
Oh, no, dear.
I know a lot of you have been lighting your Rob anus candles.
Right.
But here's the commercial for Rob and for this guy with the butt problem.
Is how you're feeling inside keeping you from going outside? If persistent symptoms like chronic diarrhea, an urgent need for a bathroom, severe abdominal pain, rectal bleeding, fatigue, and weight loss.
Hi, Rob.
Well, that last one, they might want to... 12
pounds.
You've lost 12 pounds?
I believe it.
Or tying you to the bathroom and keeping you from living your life. It could be something more serious, like Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis.
Oh, there it is.
Winner. That's what Rob has.
Wow.
See a gastroenterologist at the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation.
Good.
We know the earlier these diseases are diagnosed, the easier they are to treat.
What's wrong with it?
Oh, the guy just hung up. He's running to call the doctor.
What? That's a real commercial for you.
That is.
For someone who has the exploding anus like you.
Yeah, I don't have Crohn's disease, but that's sort of like a cousin from what I've done.
Yes. Is that a more severe cousin?
To me, no.
Yeah,
right now, what I've got is the worst.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
He won't give you a straight answer.
Hello, but Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'll show you later.
No, thank
Hello
you.
There.
Yeah, I'm calling about the guy who was talking about the Jim Rome comment.
Yes, JR. Yeah, what about him?
Yeah, well, at the end of the show, Jim Rome, you know, will play the best call or whatever, and you'll normally play the tape from earlier in the day, but they didn't have a best call, and the best crack of the day was this string of, you know, Donald Trump insults toward Rosie O'Donnell.
Right.
And I guess that's what you guys played yesterday, but he was telling Donald Trump to give a call in because he was giving him all sorts of credit.
I'm really truly amused by that.
All right, thank you. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
thank you. Right, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. You know, when we started this whole thing, you were going to talk about a sponsor.
Should have just dumped.
Well, not really.
Jumped right into this, and I just did both feet. Okay,
customers
first. The sponsor, the client of which I will not speak. Mm-hmm. And I had a wonderful weekend, a great weekend.
Good.
Do not let this slant in any way your thought that I didn't have a fantastic weekend.
Okay.
I went in a major store as I just wrote down to the fellas. You know the name of it.
Indeed.
At a big shopping center on Saturday.
That's right, folks.
And I wanted to buy something. Shock. I'm giving stupid details now. Something specific I wanted to buy.
Of course.
That you could get at this store. A store that men and women go to alike.
All right.
I found the item, and I walked up to the register. Now, when I got to the register, and I should say this as well, as I was looking, and the item, incidentally, without giving it away, is this thing that I'm wearing right now today.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Nice.
So I picked...
That is handsome.
So I picked, that's right, my suitcase full of diamonds that I'm wearing around my neck today. This thing is what I got.
That now, is a beautiful heart-shaped pendant.
When I was walking around the store, looking at the various types of... It's a piece of clothing, this thing that I'm wearing.
Right.
I asked a guy, I said, you got this in XL, and... He nodded and went, and kind of pointed because he was on the telephone, okay? And I noticed that was the first time, and I didn't have a problem with it, that all he did was point to me and went right back to his phone call. You get that a lot when you go into a store now.
Did you get the impression it was perhaps a call of a personal nature?
Yeah.
As opposed to doing the business of the stove?
But I'm going somewhere different with
all
this,
right,
so just bear with me.
Okay.
Because it was like, I must get Jack Bauer on 24. I mean, it was one of those accents,
right?
So I didn't think anything of it. I got the thing. I go to the checkout place. Now, seriously, at this particular store, the people that were working there, if you were working in TSA at the airport, you might pull out of the five people that were working store employees around the register, you might pull three of them out of a line,
okay,
if you understand what I'm saying.
Sure.
But for whatever reason, all five of them, even the blonde-eyed, blue-haired, very Aryan-looking fella that was there.
Blue-eyed, blonde-haired.
What did I say?
Blonde-eyed, blue-haired.
Blue-haired.
Yeah. Senior citizen working?
Look, now you look like that big palooka in the Rocky movie where he
beat
the Russian guy.
Right. Dolph Lundgren.
They're all speaking, I don't know if it's Peruvian, Arabic. I'm not really sure what they're speaking.
Right.
But that is all that they're speaking. They're all speaking to each other, Farsi or something, and two of them are on cell phones, and two of them are talking to each other. I come up to the register. I say to the guy, how you doing? He's on his phone as well.
Of course.
He's on his phone. And
so how many employees total so far have been on phones?
Out of five, three of them are on phones.
That's BS.
And my only complaint, I'm going to sound like Archie Bunker here. My complaint that I realized when I left the place and I bought the stuff and it was fine was that nobody spoke to me in English. Now, as it turns out, the guy behind the checkout thing didn't really have to speak because he was on the telephone. He just went beep, beep, beep with the scanner thing, then just went like this because he was still on the phone. Jack Bauer, yeah. It went like, pointed on the screen where I'm supposed to sign.
So there was really no friendliness either.
And it wasn't the friendliness, Mike. What struck me was...
Can I ask you this? Were they at all friendly?
To each other.
But not to the customers.
As they thought about the next 9/11 that they were planning.
Oh, God, they were all on the phone.
None of them... I know how this makes me sound. Damn it, I don't care. None of them were speaking English.
Yeah, okay.
Nobody spoke English, and I'm sure they spoke it as a second language in the store.
Probably couldn't get a job at the store if they didn't speak English.
For goodness sakes, if you're in America and you got the gig and there's an obvious... Look at me.
Did any of them appear to be a supervisory in capacity?
Yeah, one guy did.
Sure, always.
Right, Rob. Not in Rob's America. Well, I'm with you on that, boy. So that's just a small... I know it's nothing, but it really chewed me up. I left the store and I thought... Now, what do you do about this?
You can't really have the meltdown in the store, can you?
No, but...
You can't really go, is there a chance anybody could stop speaking to their friends and maybe speak English to me? You think you'd be within your rights if you did that in the store?
Yes, I do.
I really found that I wasn't upset that they were talking on the phone. I'm used to that now when you go
into a store. Mecca like a hi, Mecca hiney ho.
I'm used to the random indifference you get when you go into a store.
Right. But isn't it pleasant when you don't? And it's not overbearing.
It doesn't happen.
You don't like it, though, when it's nice, either. You don't like it when it's too friendly, right?
Yeah, well, they're somewhere between too friendly.
A happy medium.
And, you know, talking about blowing up the World Trade Center with your phones, with your friends on the telephone.
Right.
You know, while there's a guy in front of you buying a really silky Puma jogging suit.
Well, it's the same thing, and they're very animated in talking to each other. And then when they talk to you, it's like, all right, what do you want?
Yeah, and really, that was so... come on, speak English, number one. Second one is, I'm at the Starbucks right across the street on Rockville Pike here, a beautiful Rockville, Rock and Rollville, Maryland.
Right.
They have one here?
There's, are you kidding? Right next to Barnes & Noble, you know it. Right across the street, big, gigantic, huge one.
They may have two in Rockville.
A big Starbucks.
Flavored water.
I go in, I say, I'm going to get myself something caffeinated before the show. 2 o'clock today. I walk in at 2 o'clock, and I can't fault the people who are there, the stupid people who are there, who feel that they're making the purchase of a lifetime, that they're on deal or no deal, when they're standing in front of that big thing, and they have to decide which piece of carrot cake they want, or if they want, because they got the faggy sizes for the... But there were, when I walked in, 8 people in front of me, and by the time I left and got pissed off, 8 more people behind me in line. 16 people in line at a Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
And at this Starbucks.
That's right, a thriving Starbucks.
Right across the street. Right now, there was 6 people behind the counter. There was one person that was making coffee and 5 other people who had perfected the art of looking busy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like one dumb lady just wanted tea. She just wanted tea.
Simple tea.
Cup of tea.
She didn't want
chai tea.
She didn't want the chai tea.
Sweet tea.
She wanted just
green ginseng.
She wanted just iced tea.
Just tea.
And you would have thought that they said to this fellow working behind the counter, who's popping pimples on his face, they would have said, "We want you to go find out the origins of tea."
Right.
We want you to know, because this guy was standing with his back to everybody by the work area at Starbucks, really laboring for 5 minutes. Like, how do I make iced tea? And he had enough in the pre-made big pitcher to give her like 3/4 of a glass. So then he had to...
So he's making iced tea.
Yes.
See, that's the problem right there. They're not used to your iced beverage at Starbucks.
So, you know, I don't know what to say to you people. I'm trying to keep it under control. I'm trying my best to keep my good demeanor.
Sure.
But when I go into a place of business and you don't speak English and you got, you know, people with various things on their heads,
right,
that maybe they shouldn't be wearing on their heads in a place of business, but you know, what the heck?
Or through their nose.
Oh, no, this was all on their heads.
Oh, I see.
These were all very...
Very various towel arrangements.
Very fancy towels. Very high thread count on these towels.
Right.
But that's it. That's all. That's why I said,
well, legitimate complaint. Both of them, really.
That's why I said, hey, do you want it? Because I really don't have anything with that. And there, I only wasted a couple of minutes. So
let's
move on with the show.
Well, the place you were talking about, which will go nameless, I've been in...
A good advertiser of the show.
I'm a great customer of theirs. I'm a regular client. And I usually only have a problem when I get to the register because of the indifference. Now, and that's why I asked you. I know you had your specific Ed Anger, anti-American angle on this, but did you felt that indifference when you were up there, right?
Oh, of course. But
I feel it, whether it's English speaking or not, it's just kind of an indifferent
everywhere.
Attitude.
Like I said,
it's everywhere, not everywhere.
Almost.
Well, not everywhere.
I'm very used to it. But at the Starbucks across the street, what amazed me was how people need their fix. That's when I finally decided that I didn't have the time for it. And it really is like selling legalized drugs because it's 2 o'clock.
Flavored water.
It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's caffeinated flavored water.
Caffeinated flavored water.
It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you have 18 people who normally, or 12 people, how many were in line, who normally would not have the patience. We are a society of drive-through. If you get there and you don't get it like in 2 minutes, boy, you're pissed.
Right.
You're laying on the horn. Yet these people in Starbucks are just waiting patiently.
But isn't Starbucks just like Victoria's Secret with the, mm-hmm. you go in there and it takes 2 hours to get whatever you want?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that same. It's the culture of that, right? People stand in line because it's supposed to be the best.
But I'm
when it's really the same as everything else.
I'm allowing that in there. I know the time that it takes to get something in Starbucks. I know that it's the experience of Starbucks.
Right.
And there are some people who... You know, I've never understood the people that, like, enjoy bringing their own newspaper from home and not sitting outside a Starbucks, but sitting inside the Starbucks.
How much did your particular beverage cost you?
Well, it didn't cost me anything because I didn't get it.
Well, what would it have cost?
I walked in with $5 in my pocket.
Right. Would it cost about $4.50, something like that?
And the thing is, people will stand there.
I thought you get the more expensive stuff.
No, it's just a regular mocha, decaf mocha.
Oh, okay.
Or like a half calf mocha.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
$5. Half-calf is like half the caffeine?
Half caffeine, half decaf?
Right.
Right.
With a little chocolate syrup in it?
That is beautiful.
That's your drink?
Nice. You've got half a baby cow.
Nice little pick-me-up. But the people in the store were so fixated on the fact, need this caffeine, must have this caffeine, that our primal urge to say something to the people like, hey, dumbass, how long is it going to take you to make a goddamn glass of tea? Or to the fellow standing in front of me, fella, you're not deciding on a home loan here.
No.
It's a piece of carrot cake or it's a piece of cheesecake. And you behind the counter, listen, put it on a plate or put it in a box. I really don't give a frig. But there's people here who want their coffee. But people maintain this level of decorum and order in Starbucks because...
Because they're conditioned to.
And because you're going for your fix.
Right.
Because
you'll wait. But why don't you go to the 7-Eleven? Because you can't get your
ain't as
mocha.
Good, Mike. It really ain't as good. And the 7-Eleven coffee, in my humble opinion, you might as well take speed. That 7-Eleven coffee, man.
It's when I used to drink it, that's what I drank.
That gets you too wired.
I had 2 16-ounce cups of coffee before we'd go on the air.
Too wired. How could you do that?
Wow. I had one back when I was living on the Eastern Shore. I drink one all the way, and then I stop over the bridge, get another one, and drink that.
That's like taking Sudafed.
You ever hear those old tapes of the morning zoo?
Yeah, I know. Hey, Bobby, how you doing?
Hi, how's it going? Oh, I couldn't agree more completely.
Sudafed, same thing. You take that thing, Jesus Christ, you're
I don't take Sudafed, and I don't drink coffee anymore. I'm okay with Sudafed. And I've moved away from Diet Coke as well. I have moved away. Well, remember when I dropped dead a short time ago? Remember that day that I dropped dead in traffic? Remember that airbag? You know that? The Hispanic thing?
That's right. It's funny when you say that. Remember that day I dropped dead?
The doctor moved me away from caffeine.
Huh.
I only drink it when I'm away.
Well, my advice to you, the merchants of America, first off, you know, the difference is okay. Second, please have them speak English. Please. This is America. And second, Starbucks, what can I say? You got me. I mean, I'm going to go back to Starbucks.
Well, of course you're going to go back. They are of chains in America. They're really almost indispensable.
Robin,
you got to have them.
Would you give me that Starbucks across the street on the telephone, please? Okay. I would just like, maybe I'd like to speak to the guy just who was making the iced tea.
Okay.
Maybe if I could just ask him how come it was taking him so long to make iced tea.
Maybe they're not as busy right now. We'll see. Maybe things have quieted down. Let's see what happens.
Maybe so. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing great, thanks.
All right, folks. How about Jim Brown? Or James Brown, I'm sorry. Happy Elvis birthday.
He blew it.
James Brown. Now, which James Brown? The dead James Brown or the James Brown on
CBS? Did James Brown mention our name on the weekend?
Don't believe so.
Said he was.
He did say folks like in the first.
Did you watch James Brown's concert on the High Def channel?
No, I did not.
Did you watch any of it? Did you see how it was on there? James Brown at the House of Blues.
Oh, on Channel 79, right.
Yeah.
On DirecTV.
It was fun to watch.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Oh,
Joe.
He does, really. He would stay up there. He had to have 18 musicians. He had to have 4 or 5 backup singers,
sure,
and 3 dancers who also backed him up singing, and he had like a percussion save, and he just stands up there doing that little dance stuff, and occasionally goes, "Ready, Sadaba, Tinnaby, Sadaba," and then he's just got this great, you know how much fun we had at Wayne Newton?
Yeah.
We would have had just as much fun going to see James Brown,
sure.
But now the opportunity's gone.
And just to
thought I'd mention that.
Just to be clear, this is James Brown tape before he passed away, right? This
no, it was after he died. he made one last, right after his, shortly after his death, he made one trip to the House of Blues. Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Donnie.
Whatty.
Them birdies still crapping on your car because I got a solution for you.
No, friend, listen, today now, it's a, let me give you a brief update on this. The birds with the pterodactyl poop, we believe will be coming back today.
To roost.
Here in D.C., like in much of the East Coast, it's cooler today. It's only 50. It's not 70. It's windy as hell, but we're ready for them when the sun goes down, and they all arrive. We have today an M-80.
Uh-huh.
We also have fireworks. We have noisemakers, and we have bullhorns.
No.
We're going outside. We're going to get us some birds today.
What do you mean, no?
I got your solution.
What?
when I was in the military, I had the same problem. They'd fly in the warehouse where I worked, and I'd have to clean up after them.
Yeah.
All it takes is a high-powered BB gun with a scope. You kill a few of them, and the rest of their friends figure it out, and they don't come back anymore.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Yeah, but see, we'd get arrested if we would.
Isn't that the answer to almost every problem? Unfortunately, you just can't hit that easy button.
How much fun would that be, though?
Now, listen, that would have been the perfect solution to my problem with the sporting goods store.
Yeah. Yep.
I said it. And also
a high-powered BB gun with a scope.
And in the coffee shop.
Uh-huh.
You know, listen, speaking.
And if you had a scope, you could probably aim at the phone.
Meow. You'll put your eye out, kid.
Ho, ho, ho.
That's one commercial I never got sick of during the holidays.
Oh, the fake.
Was the takeoff on A Christmas Story from the cell phone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Very well done.
You'll put your eye out, kid.
All right, let's go back to the art of negotiation right now.
You don't understand, kid.
Rob was just trying to find if anyone at Starbucks. I'll just see if anybody from that Starbucks would go on the air.
I would assume they're kind of tight.
The lights turned down. I'm waiting for the manager now.
Isn't Starbucks where Letterman set the thing up where he ran the tube of coffee across the street,
yep,
and then they wouldn't let him in next time?
Yeah. Tell him it's good publicity.
And that's CBS television.
It's good publicity, for goodness sakes. You just want to help him out there.
That's right. Well, no one here is doing anything other than you've already said it's the best. You've acknowledged it's the best.
Yeah, they got the best stuff. They don't step on it like Buzz does.
That other place that we're not mentioning, that doesn't have the best stuff.
Oh, the sports place?
That's just there.
It's another
stuff.
Sports
it's
place.
It's there because it's there.
Yeah. Place. Put that in your ads. We don't speak English when you come in. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah, howdy.
Hey, I was watching the pregame. And James Brown, I was waiting for him to say it. And sometimes he would hesitate. He'd be like, all right. And he would, like, look at the camera, like, for a second. I caught him one time. I only caught him one time when he said it. He's like, all right, folks. And I was just cracking up because I was waiting for the whole time for him to say it.
Actually, if you were watching, thanks for the call, my friend.
Okay.
If you're watching the beginning of the their show yesterday, when they went out to Nancy for the Patriots-Jets thing, the last thing that Nance said was, it'll be a good game. Indeed.
Indeed. Good football weekend, George Ringham. Incredible football weekend. You know, you get everybody over the house, you make your chili, you go get your Starbucks coffee, and you sit around and drink coffee and eat chili.
Here is JB from yesterday's NFL Today. Four folks and one indeed in a one-hour show.
Welcome to a special wild-card edition of the NFL Today.
Oh, for me, I love that.
Look, hey, folks. All right, folks, as we take a look.
All right, folks, on a somber note, but, folks, it came down to the wire.
The feud has simmered down just a bit. Let's hope, indeed, that's the case.
Oh, there you go.
Now, he does make adjustments.
Shows
improvement, doesn't he?
I saw him catch himself more than once.
Wow.
That is
he stopped short.
That's it for our friend JB.
Indeed.
What great games those were over the weekend. They were all good in their own way. It was good to see Peyton Manning throw interceptions and the Colts come back. That game on Saturday night was freaking incredible with Tony Homo, God, and the Dallas Cowboys, and then
Homo Polo.
The early game yesterday was kind of a boring one, and then your boys, the G-Men, boy, was that a good game.
Hey, Johnny, enjoy that game. John Norman, I believe,
big Giants.
A bigger Giants fan than I am, and I'm a big Giants fan. Yeah, terrific, huh? How about those guys?
Didn't see a second of it.
You didn't watch it?
Had some other things that needed to be taken care of.
Oh, my God. You didn't watch the playoff game?
Believe me, that's exactly where I wanted to be, and it did not work.
Oh, wow.
Two great things in that Giant game. First, when Joe Buck or whoever said...
Yeah, it was Joe Buck.
...said that Eli Manning looks lost, and they had a shot.
And they went to an immediate shot of him, and you could not get a dumber look on an athlete.
Wow. And again, the retard game. You know, you could play the game, this guy is retarded. He was sitting on the sidelines. They were saying he just looked out of it. And he's sitting on the sidelines with his mouth open, just looking into space.
You know, one of the things about Eli Shuler, Manning, when they score a touchdown and they were slapping him on the back, hitting him on the head, they're going crazy. They've just tied the game, and he still has that. Yay! He just doesn't. He seems like he's medicated. It's like a scene from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He's just sitting there like he's on a psychiatric ward.
And they got a fat boy on the Giants team.
That's the best.
Really, they've got this
guy. And that would have been something if they'd gone deeper into the playoffs. It would have been a big deal. It would have been fun.
They've got this guy from Kentucky, and he weighs 285 pounds, and he's a quarterback. And they bring him in only when they need to get 1 yard or less. And
right.
He does the quarterback sneak. And
he's just odd. He's not even like a traditional big guy. He's not like a lineman. He's misshapen, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he misshapen like he does? He has the little boy head.
The thing is, he's one of us. He's like if you took somebody watching the game
right.
and put them out there, because his head is so big and fat.
He's got the fat head, but in proportion to his body, he's long.
Yeah, the helmet is small on his big fat head, but he's got a big, gigantic body.
Yeah, he does, and he's just he's misshapen,
and he's not quarterback looking at all.
No, but he tries. You know, it looks like maybe he tries to be. He doesn't have the lineman body either. He doesn't have it where it's all gut, and he's kind of stocky. He's just he looks like some guy. He looks like Rob.
He does.
As a quarterback.
Hey, it's just a compliment. You just missed a compliment, Rob. I know you're on the phone, but I just want to let you know whenever we get a compliment.
But, of course,
for
Rob
you.
Would be dwarfed by this guy.
Yeah.
This guy weighs 385 pounds.
So they bring him in at one point to do a quarterback sneak, and the Giants are in the wrong formation, so he's got to call timeout. I think Joe Buck says something real patronizing like, well, at least he got to call a timeout. Like, hey, the big fat boy got to do something in the game.
Truly, truly amazing, but not to be for Giants fans or Jet fans yesterday.
Good games. Hey, boy, come on, we got to hit a break. What are you doing with Starbucks?
You should probably break because the manager is calling his manager.
Sure. Wow. Just hang up. Just hang up.
The manager's calling the manager to check the regional manager, the national manager. Oh, and then, of course, you get all the way up to either Mr. Starr or Mr. Buck.
And, of course, then when I... And then the last thing I'll mention is when I left the store, and I didn't make a huff about it.
But you were mad.
I was mad. I was like, sure. I looked at people, and I know the look that I was giving them was like, how can you just stand and watch this incompetence? It's just coffee. And the look that I got from all of them, the people, even the people in front of me in line, was like, oh, someone's leaving.
You're bailing?
Yeah. We're going to get it faster.
Sure.
Bye, sucker.
Yep.
Bye, loser.
So long.
And I'm the one that felt bad when I was walking past the window and looking at everybody still in line.
They're going to get theirs.
They're going to get theirs.
You aren't going to wait, but they're going to get theirs. That's an empty feeling, isn't it? It's an empty feeling in more ways than one.
Five people making coffee, really only one person making coffee.
Right, of course. Do they have any competition? Real? Yeah, is there any other? I know, there are lots of places that sell it. But is there anybody that's really competition?
About Dunkin' Donuts competition now for Starbucks?
As close as you're going to get.
Yeah, they got a drive-thru, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good job at Borders.
Borders coffee's pretty good. Right? I know my girlfriend's had that many, many times. She's gone into Borders and gotten the coffee in there.
Yeah, but you know me, I'm adverse to books, Mike.
I understand.
I'm allergic to learning.
Just being around that literature.
Don't like it.
Makes your brain hurt.
They said if they sold comics, I'd go in there.
They do.
But just comics, Buzz.
Okay.
No, nothing with real words in it.
Then you'd have everybody selling you the coffee saying, answer me these questions three.
We got a break. Hey, Johnny, are all these calls about Peyton Manning about him picking his nose?
Joe?
Yeah. Joe? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Peyton, or was it Peyton or Eli?
It was Peyton.
You would think Eli would be the nose picker.
No, they had at one point after like his third interception, they had a shot of him on the bench and just digging for gold.
Good.
Just digging away.
The amazing Tard Manning family. Of course, one of them knows how to win. Damn it. I'm a little down on old Eli after yesterday.
Come on, sure. Of course you are. And I bet Joe feels good. Joe spent the first pick in the overall draft to get him. His first round pick for Eli.
Oh, that's right. Eli.
Everyone laughs.
Breathe through that mouth, Eli. Don't show any excitement when you have something good happen.
He looks kind of lost out there, don't you think?
Just a bit.
All right, so that's all that's going on in the world, really. Starbucks fix that. Other place speak English. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and...
Today is Elvis's birthday. Elvis would have been...
72.
I was dreaming my dick was out, and I was checking to see if that infected bump had filled with pus again. Oh. If it had, I was going to name that bump after my ex-wife, Scylla, and bust it by off. Oh, man. Or I'd like to think that's what I do. Dreams let you think like that. Truth was, I hadn't had a... in years.
That's fantastic.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's Bruce Campbell from that movie Bubba Hotel.
That is the best.
And speaking of the games yesterday, as we were, was that Bruce Campbell that I saw in
Old
the
Spice commercial?
Old Spice commercial.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where he's walking by the very long ship. That's a heck of a commercial for him.
Good spot.
It's all him.
Good spot. Happy birthday, Elvis. 7-2 today. We honor Elvis on his death day, not on his birthday.
Brother filled with pus again.
He was talking about his thing.
Yes.
In the movie Bubba Hotep. That's a winning movie.
That is amazing. That's scary. That is a scary piece of tape. Funny.
That's a good one. My kid got me to watch that one. Oh, and my life is just about back to normal now. Bart's departure on Saturday.
Ah.
You know, there's always something with your kids, no matter how old they are. And I think I had mentioned to you that Bart's almost 22 now, and things are cool. This past time he was here for...
You enjoyed it.
...nearly a month for his break from college. We got along great. Things were fantastic. There's no busting of balls, no yelling, do this, do this, do this. Everything's cool. So we're on our way to the airport on Saturday morning. Saturday morning for Bart, Saturday afternoon for the rest of us.
Ah.
And... as we are on the way there, he says, you know, there's one thing that I think I forgot. And I thought it was something that he forgot to pack in his bag.
Right.
And he said, you know, I don't know. Did we pay tuition? Now, we've been through this before with Bart. We're right after Frieda passed. I forgot to pay the tuition
right.
This semester. But since then, we've been on top of it. And you got it's a deal. You got to pay this, whatever it is, every quarter, whatever it is. I said... Hey, Mr. 21, 22-year-old, I thought you were going to give me the paperwork. You do it through a website, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, by the time we got to the airport, the kid was pretty much convinced that he was not going to get into any of his classes this year.
Wow.
And
especially after all that you went through before.
And he was flipping out a little bit of the airport, and I was saying, come on, keep it under control. And as we were taking his bags out of my car, and they were bringing him the sky cab there to check them, this also just typical Bart, poor kid. I've never heard of this happening with anybody who travels. Of course, I don't know anybody who travels with as much crap as Bart did. When he came back for the Christmas break, he brought virtually every piece of dirty clothing that he had. Everything that had to be dry cleaned and stuff that didn't have to be dry cleaned. He also brought back like 4 pairs of different Nikes.
Wow.
To go with his different clothes.
He brought how many suitcases did he have at the airport?
He brought one big, gigantic, gigantic rolling bag and a carry-on. So keep in mind he leaves and he's got all of his Christmas gifts and junk that I got to ship back to him.
Right.
So he's got this big bag and we're standing at the curb at Dulles Airport on Saturday afternoon and I'm trying to talk him off the ledge about this. Don't worry. You know, a couple days late with the tuition. It'll be fine. The guy from TSA comes over as we're checking the bags and says, can I talk to you? He doesn't say it to me. He says it to Bart, right? And I say, what's going on? And he says, whose bags are these? And I said, they're his, but I'm
is this
his.
On the street or at the...
on the street.
On the street.
On the street, right? Where you the red top.
Yeah,
where
the red cap. Where they check things in, right?
Right. I say, what's going on? He says... we're going to have to get somebody over here. So he calls over the cop, right? And it turns out he's calling over the cop because I'm going to leave my car there for a second. Because, who knew this? There's a 50-pound limit on what you can carry on an airplane.
Yeah.
And my kid had 59 pounds of crap.
That is a heavy carry-on.
Shoved into this bag.
Do you know why we never tracked with that? Because nobody ever carries anything on that's that heavy.
Right. No. So imagine the people that we're inconveniencing now, because people who are arriving at the airport, we're standing outside, the back part of my car is opened up where his other bag is, and now we've got his big, gigantic bag opened up, and it's unzipped, and we're trying to take out 9 pounds worth of stuff.
Not easy to do.
And I'm saying to him, Bart, here's the easiest way to handle this. All of these tennis shoes, leave them here. I will just UPS them back to you. Dad, I need my shoes. You need your shoes. I need my shoes. Okay. I said, okay, well, the dry cleaning has to go. Dad, the dry cleaning hardly weighs anything. Said, what have you got in here? What the hell have you got
tools,
in here?
Wrenches.
Did he figure out what was heaviest?
Well, here's... I'll get right to the chase on this. When I said, what the hell do you have in here, the guy from TSA, the guy from United Airlines, the TSA guy, came over and said... what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
And I said, trying to get 9 pounds out, and there are people waiting to check their bags. And the guy, because it's what they do,
right.
He reached in and started rifling through the bag.
Oh, yeah.
And he grabbed a big, gigantic, not hefty bag, but like a big, full-size garbage bag. He pulled it out, and he said, this might weigh 9 pounds. And I said,
my Heisman.
He said, what is in there? Bart said, I don't know. So we put the bag down, and I mean, thank God the boy doesn't wear underpants, but it is every dirty, crusty sock and T-shirt that he wore
dirty clothes.
For 3 weeks.
Oh, so going back with him are the dirty clothes from...
Plus,
so he didn't knock out a laundry before he packed his bag.
Plus, he left 4 loads of dirty clothes back at home.
Wow.
And he had a backpack with 59 pounds of crap that he was bringing back to him, and as far as I can tell...
So the dirty stuff he didn't mind leaving behind.
Well...
Most of it.
Here's the thing. We are on the actual... There's two levels, like at every airport, arrivals and departures,
right.
Excuse me.
Right.
And we're standing out there on the sidewalk part for the departures, actually having the discussion as he goes through each item. I said, all right, those are socks. And then I got caught up and I said, listen, just leave all of the dirty laundry here. Just leave it here. Don't take anything back with you.
This is the teary farewell.
And hold on a sec. This is totally wrong on my part to bring it up at this point. Because I'm looking at this bag. We finally have it straightened out. I'm going to take back 2 pairs of tennis shoes and a big, huge bag of his dirty, crusty clothes.
Right. The old 9-pounder.
Yeah, I'm going to take back 9 pounds of stuff. As I'm putting the bag with the laundry in the back of my car, it starts to spill out. And I go, oh, great. And I just go, screw it. I'm about to shut the back. And I notice, hold on a second. I said to my son, are those my Packers socks? And
you're lucky Packers socks.
Yeah, for some reason, I decided...
Not like he's just got 1 pair, Buzz. I know
I got 1,000 pairs of Green Bay Packers socks. But in the middle of all of this, I start saying to my son, I cannot believe you're wearing my Green Bay Packers socks.
Were you two the most popular guys at curbside check-in?
We put on...
Was it a seam?
Yeah, it was really a scene, and it was like not meant to be a scene.
It's like two identical. It's like the older version and the younger version of the same person.
So we were standing there finally working through it. It took like 10 minutes before finally the bag was done, and I had the 9 extra pounds of stuff in my car. And
that's giving, you know what's nice about that? It gives the undercover guys a suitable amount of time to photograph you.
And he was...
From every angle.
He was on his way inside the terminal. And, you know, we hugged. I said, all right, love you. Call me when you get there.
Right.
And I went back out to my car. And as I went back to my car, now, there were people... Now, my car had been parked there, literally, and I exaggerate, but 5 minutes.
That's a long time. In
very busy.
Time.
As I walked back towards the car, I looked at the cop and I went, one second. And as he was saying, you can't leave your car, I went running back inside. And my kid is waiting to check. And I go... Bart! It's the end of the world. And he looks up and he goes, what? I said, real loud, don't forget your tuition! And he looked at me like,
airport visit with the scene makers.
When is this going to end? So I got home and I had the bag of 9 pounds of dirty laundry.
Right.
And I mentioned to my girlfriend when I got home, I told her the whole thing and we had a little laugh about it. And she said, well, that's really funny because I was just down cleaning up downstairs where he lives in the basement when he comes home. And not only were there...
He comes upstairs with hip boots and a shovel.
Not only were there 4 different full loads of laundry down there, she found, well, besides beer bottles everywhere.
A human hand.
Which is normal. Another one of those fantastic 2-liter bottles full of spit. From like
from his
chew.
Oh, I hope it was in his bedroom. Was it in his bedroom?
Yes.
Phil.
And she said, in the closet in his bedroom, where incidentally we have a bunch of baby stuff for my grandkids and for when Rob's kids come over, she said, apparently Bart had just started putting his dirty dishes up there. And... up on the upper shelf.
That's very college.
On the upper shelf in his bedroom, next to like diapers and all
like
of this
silverware and stuff,
baby stuff. Not so much silverware, but yes, baby silverware and
some plastic silverware,
thermometers, Q-tips, baby wipes.
Ah.
All of these things are on a shelf in his bedroom because
does he not have a trash bag and a trash can in his bedroom?
Of course he does. Of course he does. It's empty. Why use the trash bag when you can use the whole room? So Janet said that she was looking through his closet trying to clean up some of the stuff, not invading on his privacy.
Right.
And she came upstairs with 5 or 6 plates that had old, crusty food. We were trying to decide what he had had to eat.
And this is during the 3 weeks that he knocked this out.
3 weeks.
Wow.
3 weeks. And then it ended today when we were down in the basement, which is the area he's in, but not in his bedroom. When we actually looked under the couch in the actual basement itself, we found 3 more plates under there.
Wow.
So as it turns out,
are these paper plates or regular plates?
Well, these are regular plates. Yeah.
Everyday time.
She had said to me last week, have you broken a lot of dishes recently?
He's hiding them.
I swear to God. So I asked her about it.
So if she finds plates there, it's the actual act of finishing what he's having. And as opposed to just leaving a plate out, he carefully slides the plate underneath the couch.
Bingo. Or in the case if he's eating in his room, he doesn't do that.
So he puts the plates up in the closet to avoid the trip upstairs.
Bingo.
Well, you know.
As Bobby Goldsboro sings, that's my boy.
Entire serving set of 6.
You know, it starts early. We were cleaning out Julia's room this weekend, and, you know, we try to minimize the amount of candy the kids eat. But, you know, it was Christmas time. We looked under her bed, and I would say, conservatively, 80 candy wrappers under the bed. Because she knows if they were in the trash, we'd see them.
Well, Elizabeth, my youngest, my 9-year-old, did it in front of me the other day.
What'd you do?
She had a piece of candy. I'm standing next to her bed, and she's standing there watching television. The TV was on, and she did not process the fact that I was standing right in front of her under the candy wrapper. Boom! A little right hand, right onto the floor. And I looked, and you know what's great when they get to that age where they can give you the look where they know? They give you that smile that says, yeah, I screwed up, Dad.
Yep.
Sorry. Picks it up. It's I guess it's all kids. All kids. I mean, it's a rare child that is meticulous.
But I'm talking about plates that had encrusted food on them. And
it starts with candy wrappers, and it finishes with surface as well.
As a matter of fact, I was trying so hard to defend Bart at this point, why I don't know.
You mean when Janet was bringing the stuff up?
She brought the plates up, and she said, look at how gross this is. And I said, but looks to me like he was having broccoli and cheese.
Eating well.
At least he's eating well. And she said, no. She went like this with the plate. She goes, this is Chinese food. This is like when we ordered Chinese 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
No.
Anything living? Was there anything that actually looked like maybe it was turning itself into another organism?
Nothing except the mice. And now, thank you, Bart. I have to get an exterminator out.
Oh, really? Because the mice are there?
I swear to God.
Oh, God.
It might have a big sign outside that says, eat it, Bart.
Good.
Hello. Yum.
Donna Mike Show.
Hello, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Speaking of gross stuff in the closet, my girlfriend's brother used to use Q-tips and then throw them back in the closet when there was a garbage can 2 feet away.
Used Q-tips.
Used Q-tips.
Just about the grossest thing, really, next to a used Kleenex.
I think a gross Q-tip is worse than a gross Kleenex.
A yellow?
Because
a yellow-ended Kleenex?
A Kleenex?
I mean a yellow-ended Q-tip?
Yeah, but even a yellow-ended Kleenex, even a Kleenex that's got a bunch of, like, dried snot in it,
I feel
it's
paranoid when
balled,
I
balled up, right?
Yeah, I normally feel paranoid when I throw a used Q-tip in the bathroom trash canister when it doesn't have a plastic liner in it. I feel actually
wrap it in tissue.
You wrap it in tissue?
Of course you do.
Well, I don't want to see it later.
You ever smell it?
Oh, of course.
You ever smell it when it comes right out of your ear?
I never smell it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh God! Is
I
that
look
a,
at it. I certainly examine
for
it.
A treat.
If you ever liked smelling your wrist when you were a kid, when you would have like a leather
watch band. I love smelling from behind my ear when I haven't showered.
Then you are missing out on a treat, friend.
Really?
You are missing out on a treat.
Well, this is a new find. I never knew that. I know that. 47 years old, I never knew that. I'm going to actually try that.
Do it.
It's awful.
No, it's great.
And are you like me when you don't get anything on there, like when you've really done apparently a very good cleaning the day or the 2 days before, and it's like nothing? Do you feel a little disappointment?
Sure.
Yeah. Go back in.
I feel like you go back in.
Dig yourself out something.
Got to be in there somewhere.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, bud.
Hey, hi there.
Good. Just a couple things about my daughter when she was little, hiding stuff. If they want to bring me on, it don't matter.
What do you think? Let's check.
What do you guys think?
I don't think it's a good idea.
I don't think you're worthy. Thank you for the call, though. We'll tell them you called.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thanks.
It don't matter, none.
Who listens to the Don and Mike show?
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Radio Howdy. Visionary.
Hi there. Mark, you're on the air.
I think it would be a perfect conclusion if Bart got KO'd by his bag when he didn't adhere to the shifting luggage in the overhead bin.
Oh, well, see, he's got to check it. That big 50-pound bag gets checked, my friend.
Oh, they checked it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. All a 50-pound bag. I'm trying to think of a 50-pound bag. Maybe Yoko Ono is a 50-pound bag.
And remember, you know, that stuff may move during flights, right?
Actually, she's like, how old is she?
Yoko Ono?
Now that we don't have the alarm anymore.
70?
70? Yeah.
But she's very young at heart.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there. Oops. One more call. Steve, Don and Mike show.
Hey, it's Steve from Modesto.
It's a Steve. Call from Modesto.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, my dog loves to chew on used tampons. Pretty gross.
Yeah. Rob, you called it a call from Modesto. What a shame. I'm right now picturing your dog chewing on your rotting corpse.
In time.
There he is. That's my boy. That's my boy Rover.
And you know, in Modesto, that's something where you call the neighbors over. Hey, Phil, you got to come over and see what my dog's doing.
Joe. Hello, Joe. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
A nasty story. My sister, she's had a newborn baby, and, you know, we used to share a room because she used to stay down here because she lives up about 40 miles away, and she works down here.
Hold on, excuse me. I haven't met, anybody seen the Today Show today?
No, I did not.
God, did they have a great segment on placenta.
Did you see it?
I did not. What was it?
Were they eating the placenta?
It was during the cooking segment. No, they had a whole big thing about newborns, and it was like, my God, the placenta looked like that stuff. You know when you get those really big blowing bubble things for your kids?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Big, gigantic, big hoop. Huge hoop. Yeah. And you get that big-ass bubble.
Right.
That's what this placenta looked like.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was like, it looked like just like a piece of liver.
No.
It was liquidy.
It was clear.
Yeah,
really? It was clear. It had like a jello-like consistency, except it had a little like give to it. Like you could like maybe molded into something.
Well, you molded into food. Isn't that the big thing? Wasn't it? So who was eating the placenta?
Somebody. It's
don't people
protein.
Eat the placenta?
Someone does.
In some bass-ass country, they do.
That's what I heard.
I think so.
You know what they put on babies when they're portraying newborn babies on television shows and in movies?
What?
They smear them with cream cheese and raspberry jam. That's what they smear them with.
To make them look like they just came out of mom?
They look like they're newborns.
Wow. That's a bagel. That's not a
exactly.
Yum. Placenta. I don't know. Maybe think of... Oh, this guy made me think of placenta. Anyway, yeah. What about placenta?
So you were saying you were living in the basement with your sister.
No, in the basement. No, anyway, it was just a nasty, stinky, dirty diaper story. Like leaving in the garbage in my room. And it would just stink up the whole room. I don't know.
Really, anybody that's had newborns knows there's a totally different etiquette. I mean, they make products for diapers. You don't throw, for anybody that uses a diaper, just throws it into a regular trash can.
No,
that ain't going to cut it. You've got to actually go through that, you know, that nuclear medical waste container for diapers.
Hello. Diaper show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Byron, you're the last call. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Don and Mike? Very
well.
Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Right.
Back to the smelling thing, after a long day's work, put your finger in your belly button and smell that.
Is that that good cheesy smell?
Mm.
Oh, it's the ultimate of cheese.
Again,
behind the ear doesn't even match up to the belly button.
I think, Mike, it's really, speaking personally, it's a matter of personal hygiene. It matters how often you dig in there and, or at least soap up your belly button.
I wash my stomach every day, but I'm not sure I really probe. At my weight, you can go pretty deep.
Would you like a toothpick?
To see what comes out of there?
Yeah.
A Q-tip would be perfect.
Yeah, but,
but I'm real sensitive about it. I mean, I'm really...
With a Q-tip, it can dig right in.
I can't do this anymore because I no longer have a belly button.
Right.
Okay. Oh, hey, Saxy.
Here it comes.
You know, Mike digging into his belly button with a toothpick to see what he can pull out.
Toothpick.
Smell it.
What could go wrong?
He's smelling it.
Let me use my finger.
Do we have a head cleaner?
Use your finger.
Here we go. Hold on. Here's a Q-tip for you.
Don't drop it.
Oh, here we go.
There's a Q-tip.
All right, let's try this.
That's a major league Q-tip, Michael.
Hold on tight.
Put that in your belly button.
I'm really twisting it around. I'm not even going to look at it. I'm going to see the result.
Clean.
Sniff test?
Clean. No smell.
No.
Stuff
doesn't get in there.
Stuff goes in.
Give me one.
You want to use mine? Things check in. They don't check out.
I'll use yours.
No, that's not right.
Why?
Gay. Okay. Somehow that's gay.
Contaminated. There you go.
Go get that.
Contaminated sample.
There you go. I just wiped it off Rob's t-shirt.
Just wiped it off on Rob.
Yeah, all sterile now. All right, are you going to dig in?
Here's a fresh one.
All right.
My belly button.
This is somehow homoerotic. Yes, right. Yes, it is.
And?
Let's
see.
Is there anything on there?
Anything?
Ever so slight, maybe piece of lint.
Smell it. See if you smell anything.
Oh, God.
Smell anything?
No.
Nope. Oh.
No, I really don't. No, as a matter of fact,
smells good, right?
Well, I'm smelling it over my new apple cinnamon candle that I brought in here.
Oh, I thought I smelled it.
Speaking of good. And don't complain about it, because I think, I'm handing it back.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, we've taken the life out of that cotton at the end of that swab.
We sure have.
Hey, give me one more for my ear.
I bet I got some junk in my ear.
Oh, I guarantee I got, and I'll do one with my ear too. Give me a fresh
real
one.
Fast so we can talk to Ron Jeremy.
Be very, very careful. You bet he's got something in his ear.
There you go. There's one for you, Mike.
All right,
let's see who can take the most crap out of your ears. Ready?
Yeah.
Go. La 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 la. I'm only using my right ear. You only going on your right or your left ear? Hey, what gives? Why are we so clean? Look at that. Hold on.
I got some.
Hold on, so do I.
Yeah, we both got about the same amount of yeller.
Want to smell it?
No. You should, Mike, if you haven't before.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
That really is.
That's
Hold
good.
On. Get away from my candle.
It's good,
isn't it?
It's good. Take
oh,
it out.
Oh, my God. That really, what a newfound friend.
That's your earwax.
Oh, wow.
That's like Bree.
That's great.
Hey, give me yours. Let's compare. I want to look at it under the light.
Okay.
Two had more yellow. Yellow.
You know what?
Did I have more yellow?
No, you know what? Really.
It's almost a tie, right?
Twin sons of different mothers.
Of course.
I swear to God. Hey, way to go. You got relatively clean ears.
Well, you know, you guys started giving me a hard time about doing that on a regular basis, and I do it on a regular basis.
There you go, boy. You want to smell?
No, I'll just put them on eBay.
You know what you can do? Just smell your shirt.
You want to smell my shirt? Come on, help yourself.
Who's hungry? Delicious.
One more. Hey, Joe, come in here, please. I'm guessing that Joe has stuff on his ears.
Honor.
Like in his ear?
In his ear, yeah. I bet Joe pulls out more yellow than we did.
Let's see what happens.
Joe Arden.
We'll find out. You could be surprised.
Stick that
Joe's going to do a little ear check.
Stick it in all the way. Really dig around, Joe. Let's see what you got. Make sure
does that hurt a little bit, Joe, when you do that?
Yeah.
It really hurt me.
Doesn't come out the other side. What do you got there, Joe?
Not much. I cleaned him this morning.
Let's see what he's got. Look under the light.
Clean.
Oh, no. About as yellow as yours and mine, Mike.
Clean.
Oh, hold on. He's got much more of a streak than you or I do. Like a yellow streak. He's the winner.
Hey, just give one to Buzz.
How
just
ironic.
Just an experiment. Just
There's
one real
a streak
quick.
In
real
my
quick.
Pants.
You want to give one to Buzz?
Just real quick.
Oh, come on. That'll come back like nothing.
Let's just do one. Okay. Give him one. Take it over to him, Joe.
Okay. I'm a little.
And then bring it over to us.
It myself.
Go give it to Buzz.
When I come out of the shower, I can't leave the bathroom without.
Right.
Go give it to Buzz. Hurry. Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, because you never know. You never know what's going to happen.
All right, Buzz, put it in.
Here's a clean one into my right ear, just like everybody else. Twirl it around.
Hold
a little
it up,
bit.
Buzz.
Yeah,
hold up.
It's like a speck.
Oh! 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 Oh!
Oh! No!
Buzz! That is nasty,
Buzz! Because it was a speck, that's what caused the house.
Buzz!
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello, Buzz. Hello. That is a creature on the end of your Q-tip.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
I love gags. I really do.
Who was kidding?
I know. Look at that thing.
How is it getting gigantic?
Oh, that's got legs.
What is it that Ron Jeremy's talking about today? Hot sauce?
Three things.
Well, what is Ron Jeremy talking about today?
Ron Jeremy, XXX Hot Sauce. He's on his way to the AVN Awards. And he has a book coming out from a major publisher.
and he's got a show on VH1 Sunday night.
In that order.
Okay, I don't care about the VH1 show. What does he want to talk about? Anything?
The hot sauce is what they seem to most...
Oh, we could talk for hours about hot sauce.
And his book.
And I, you know, I would be curious about what the angle of the book is.
Yeah. Okay, so Ron Jeremy.
Yes.
Oh, I bet his thing smells.
Oh.
You could not wash the smell off his thing.
Permanent.
Really?
Yours permanent are yellow.
Yours are clean, though.
Is that in the following now?
That is, I'm sure.
Tell him we're late. Here we go.
Hello?
Rob Seabye talking to Ron Jeremy.
Can he hang on?
Can he?
What does he got
okay,
to do?
Cool. Thanks very much. Got a break.
Tell him to scrape some cheese off. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ricky Bobby, today's big winner. A heck of a win for you today, but it seems as if you either win or crash the car trying to win.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellent, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase, trademark, not to use the position of Ricky Bobby.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I'll be the one going to take off your clothes.
Well spoken for white guys, Don and Mike.
Move yourself. Right.
You always live. You got Ron Jeremy on the phone, Robbie?
Is he parked?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's welcome now back to the Don and Mike Show. Ron Jeremy. Hi, Ron.
Ron.
Hey.
How are you?
Guys?
Hey, sorry we were late getting to you, Ron.
No, don't worry about it. No problem.
Let me see.
You guys are worth waiting for.
Thank you, Ron Jeremy.
Let's see. for goodness sakes.
Man, I'm just going through the filmography. Not your average filmography.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of weird. What's weird is on the IMDb, they mix adult and mainstream. I hate that.
How much mainstream have you done? Like
About 70 regular movies.
About 70 regular, where you're just a cameo. Are most of those...
No, some are pretty big parts. I mean, I have two cult films that are huge in colleges. One's called Orgasmo from the South Park guys. They did that.
Okay.
Trey Parker, Matt Stone. The other one's called Boondock Saints, which is Willem Dafoe.
Oh, really?
After 5 years of being released, 20th Century Fox picked it up and re-released it.
So
it's huge. It's a big college film.
I'm looking at some of my favorites. I guess that my favorites would be The Screw My Wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's one of those funny 13. Adult titles, yeah.
Screw My Wife.
I also got two films at Sundance right now.
Wow,
pretty
you
excited.
Do?
One's called Finishing the Game. One's called Homo Erectus with Dave Carradine and Tom Arnold. And I have a pretty good part in that one. So
you're not doing any...
still doing adult. Yeah, still,
still
do porn
doing adult.
What's the most recent porn
with
that
a company
did?
Called Metro. I worked with one company, Metro, for porn.
Now, are you in front of the screen now or behind?
Yeah, both. I do occasional directing, occasional, but not that much. Like every couple of months, maybe I'll do one job, maybe either do a scene because the girl's awfully cute.
When
or
did,
direct it, you know.
When did the world of porn go from... You know, something that it really, you know, we all knew it, we all liked it, we didn't talk about it that much in public, to now you can be on an A-list for parties in Hollywood, you know, by being a porn star, you can be...
With the advent of, because the technology helped all that.
Okay.
But with the advent of, first it was video, then it was DVD, then it was CD-ROM, then it was computerized CDs, then it's internet. Now it's VOD, video on demand, because now we're in your bedroom.
I think
we're like soap operas. We're right there in your house. You can see us anywhere.
A lot of guys, Ron, who maybe you aren't familiar with your full body of work, no pun intended.
Right.
Well done.
Late to the party, and they see you like on VH1 or something like that, and they go, well, like, for instance, my son's in his early 20s, so he's into porno, like all big people are, but maybe he's watching this, and they go, who is this guy? This guy who kind of looks like...
A Mario brother.
Yeah.
A Super Mario brother. That's perfect, Ron.
And then the only way to describe you to someone is say, well, yeah, he is kind of like that, but, and without sounding gay, his schlong is incredible.
Well, I'd say it's big. That's all.
Well,
John Holmes had me beat by an inch or two.
But isn't yours the most famous schlong in the world?
At this point, I think it is, but it's not the biggest.
Well,
but I'll take that credit.
But in your day, I mean, really, in your prime...
Yeah, other than John Holmes, I was the guy.
I mean,
yeah.
You were the guy, and it was back before, you know, you could do anything about that. You know, you didn't have any of the augmentation
the
or anything.
The growth
right.
hormones.
And it, you know, and here's a question.
Never taken any of that stuff.
Yeah, pardon my slightly gay question here. Not that there's anything wrong with that. My question would be, of those guys you see that make us all, well, some of us at least, feel inadequate, do any of those guys, like, do things to enhance?
Well, a lot of them will occasionally either shoot Cabergette, you know, prostaglandin, or they'll sometimes maybe Viagra or Vigorex or Xtend, some of those pills that they, you know, give you that extra.
Nothing really as
there
far
is
as...
some, not only one guy in the business I know of named Rambone and John Bobbitt himself. Remember John Bobbitt?
Yeah, sure, John Bobbitt. Sure.
These guys went to a Dr. Rosenstein in Culver City. And in certain parts of America, they actually do this operation. They do elongate it a little bit.
Does it work?
It's the ligament. Well, here's what's funny. The elongating works a little bit because there's a ligament that's in your, that's inside you that can be stretched a little bit. You can add an inch sometimes.
Yeah.
However, when they try to make it thicker, that's when they're taking skin off other part of the body.
Sure.
Those have often been a problem. I've seen people have problems with that operation.
Wow.
Elongating seems to work.
I'm glad
thicker
you know
does not. And frankly, I think the whole thing is that they should. I totally endorse not doing any of that.
Have you,
you know, because girls don't care as much as people think they do.
Mm-hmm. Have you?
I mean, most guys who are more upset about being bigger, smaller, you know, if you really talk to a lot of the women out there, you know, there are some we might call size queens who might get a kick out of it. But if a vast majority of girls, if you're good and you enjoy what you're doing and you're good in bed, you're a good lover and use your face properly and stuff, they're just as happy.
Would you terrify certain women, even in porn? Would you? Would certain women look at you?
No, but I might not get a certain entrance. They might be afraid of sometimes.
Would you? Would you? Have you ever?
Hey, I did that good for radio.
Very,
today.
Very nice. Thank you.
Very radio savvy.
One of my favorite genres of porno is handies. I like.
What do you call them?
Handies. There's a thing called H jobs across America.
Handies.
Yeah. Now, have you? This is going to again sound just as gay as can be.
What are you going to ask him? I'm fascinated by. I'm just waiting for your question.
Have you ever?
Me too.
Have you ever been in a handy film?
No, I really don't like that so much. That's not my biggest thrill. Just to do that, it's like, oh god, why?
No, but you don't. No, you don't do it. Some chick does it.
Yeah, I know, but who cares, Jesus?
Yeah, but, you know, 17.
I look a little more nooky than that.
How can it be that you've done Sleep With My Wife, Please, I'm an Alien, Please?
Yeah. He doesn't like that particular
title. Those titles are often more creative than the movie.
True. 1700. Does it
get... We're about 1800 now, I think.
Does it get to a point where it just, you know, hey, big deal.
Let me say this simply. Heck no. It's still fun. You know, like, you ask an average rock star, rap star, TV star, these guys go on the road like I do, and meet all these beautiful girls at every concert. We're kind of dogs. We don't get tired of it, really. We still enjoy it. It's what Masters and Johnson would call recreational sex.
How about this?
Now, whereas the women who are in the sex business, either brothels like the Bunny Ranch in the Nevada, or adult film actresses, they sometimes get a little bit jaded. Not always. Sometimes they like a very big sex life, too. But the recreational sex, they like kind of getting that on the job. So you'll often hear a girl who's an escort say it's either love or money. At this point, either I want to really have a relationship with a guy or get a paycheck.
You
don't see men get jaded. Men are still dogs.
Can you tell me about the film She's Got Milk?
I can't remember. I mean, obviously, probably with a woman who was lactating, I guess.
Yeah, right.
You don't know what to talk about. You can't, you know, with 1800, it's hard to think back. Certain ones I remember that had, like, interesting stories, or maybe I shot it in Hawaii. But often, it's hard to remember.
Who's
the
most, of all the women in porn, who's the most difficult? Now, be honest with us, too.
I like them all.
Come on, you didn't like them all.
Well, so the only ones that are tougher are the ones like the heavier ones and some of the older ones. Like there's a series called Sugar Mommies or 87 and Still Banging. we had to work with an older woman. Or some of those are called the Full-Figured Woman video. Those are a little more difficult. But the girls are very nice.
What is the
those
age?
Girls are difficult. They're nice.
What's the age of the oldest woman you've done it with in a film?
I don't want to say because you'll laugh at me.
Please do. Please. We need to know.
Do I have to?
Yeah,
yes, please.
87.
You did it with an 87?
You're laughing. You little bastard.
We're laughing out of joy, out of pure joy.
I set up a situation called karma. Because now when I'm 87, the girl in her 40s will do me.
Right.
it was very socially redeeming. I actually, believe it or not, it may be one of the most socially redeeming films I ever did in my whole life. So I wanted to prove that you're never too old to have a good time.
Right.
A lot of women in their 60s, 70s stopped having sex.
Did you take one of those blue pills when you did that?
No, but it was a lot of effort. I had to do the grip. You know what's funny? When you get to squeeze the base and make like you have one. You know what's funny? I'll tell you what's funny is that one of the greatest lines...
Oh, stop deleting him out for goodness sake. You're hitting the button on that.
All right, hold on. You okay? Hold on. You're right. Okay. This could be Ron Jeremy's last moment here.
That was me coughing. I'm trying to laugh. I'm laughing too hard.
All right.
I said to Rosie, who was a lady in the movie, you know, I said, Rosie, how'd you get into this business? So I ran ads in the paper because I couldn't find men my age. Most men your age have been dead for 10 years.
And why do you, the great Ron Jeremy, give me a second to clear your throat. Why do you, the great Ron Jeremy, while you have your VH1 show?
Because they clear my throat so I play on radio.
You got your movie, you've got Hot Sauce. Why do you have a MySpace page?
Let me just plug it if I can. MySpace.com/Ron Jeremy. And I only have it to give my whereabouts. There's also RonJeremy.com, but the guy who has that gives out free DVDs, so you can get that. But the reason I have that MySpace is because people know where I'm going to be for the next 3 months.
Well, your book,
that's the only reason why it's great to have that. Plus, there's celebrity pictures. There's fun videos of me and Steve-O from Jackass. And there's a lot of fun celebrity stuff on there and blogs. They can see different trailers of horror movies. So it's like a real big informational site. And it's also a where I'm going to be site. So people from little cities and towns, they come out and see me. Whether it's a video store appearance or it's a nightclub I'm going to perform at, you know.
What do you do in a nightclub, Ron?
Yeah, I host. So Mike Kesterman, the agent of the celebrities, he books me at these clubs around the country where I will either do a rave, I'll introduce a band, I've even introduced Paul Oakenfold at one occasion. I'll introduce big bands, like I've introduced Kid Rock, Korn, Hinder. I just two nights ago, I introduced John Popper from Blues Traveler.
So you get around.
In fact, he gave me a present. This is it.
Wow.
And I can actually play that. I actually learned how to play a song on there. And so I introduced them in Cerritos, and I introduced them in Agora, faced 1,000 people, said hi to Ron Jeremy. I even played the piano.
Well, play something.
Play something on the harp.
Play something with that.
I've got the old Susanna.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah. Playing Oh Susanna, only on this show.
Yeah.
Bravo!
You're using your face properly.
I play really good violin and piano. There, I play really good. In fact, when I introduced John Popper, I got on the piano first. Do you like him, Blues Traveler?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they had the longest-running song called Hook. I think it was Hook. In Billboard history, they have the world's record for the longest-running song on Billboard.
That's incredible. Now, your book coming out, I was curious as to what angle you were going to take in this book. Is this going to be kind of a tell-all behind-the-scenes porn
kinda
book?
Yeah, kind
of. Because I would think it's, you know, we've had a lot of people in the business on this show. And really, you know, I think of that one guy we had, Don, that produced the movies and said, they're all garbage cans.
Garbage cans.
It's a tough business. It's kick. And we've heard it can be kind of a nasty business. Is there going to be any of that in your book?
There's some really fun celebrity stories in there.
Right.
Like some of the reviewers already said, I got good reviews and it said he's a big name dropper, which I am. But it makes it more interesting. People want to hear experiences with celebrities. Like, you know, when Sam Kinison and I are discussing religion and he flips a car upside down on me.
Yeah.
And there's a whole story about how we both escaped dying. And then later on, he died in a car crash years later. I mean, it's really interesting stuff.
Who, far as male celebrities that you've come in contact with, and I know there are many.
There's somebody to mention.
Well, let me ask this question. Who would be the most fascinated with you? What
it's
male
hard to
celebrity?
Say. I'm saying, what I'm saying is this.
Like,
I discuss
penis?
A lot of celebrities.
With him.
And a lot of the conversations are sexual, some of them. But I didn't do it in a way that's going to piss anybody off because I didn't out anybody. Like, whenever I discuss a celebrity, being on my set, like when I mentioned Tommy Lee, came to my set. If I hung out with Charlie Sheen at his home where there's some women running around, I mentioned they were single at the time. I make sure to stress that.
Okay.
No one cheated on a wife or girlfriend.
Charlie Sheen as big as you?
Cases, even if they were taken, I would never say that.
Iran, is Charlie Sheen as big as you?
No. Neither is Tommy Lee. Although in a song he wrote, and there's a Methods of Mayhem song that Tommy Lee did called Let's Get Naked, which is 10 minutes and a little Kim in the video, and one of the lyrics is bigger than Ron Jeremy. He could say that until he's blue in the face.
Or somewhere else.
Let's take a call.
But he's a rock star. Goes on to him.
Right. Let's take a call for Ron Jeremy. Here's one of your fans, Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Matt.
Matt, are you there?
Hello, Matt.
Matt, I hear you breathing.
Hi, Mike.
You're on the air, my friend.
Go ahead. You're on with Ron Jeremy.
Radio gods. Ron Jeremy, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. Stay there.
I had a question. I saw a movie back in probably 97, 98, in which you and another woman were involved with a third girl that happened to have both body parts down there.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, a hermaphrodite?
She was a hermaphrodite?
That's funny.
Yes. Do you remember that?
I think so. It was for a company called Leisure Time. And the funny thing is, it was fake. You know, I hate to say it.
Oh, they were fake. Oh,
virtually every, there's never been a real hermaphrodite in a porn film. Because most hermaphrodites don't really have large ones up there. The only one you can see a real hermaphrodite in an R-rated movie that Fellini did called Satyricon. Fellini's Satyricon. They see those things really look like. They're bizarre looking, you know?
Really?
There are girls in porn who have a very large, you know,
yeah,
I guess, clitoris.
Right. Uh-huh.
And Vanessa Del Rio is one of them. And, you know, but that's not the same thing, you know?
No.
So that was a fake. That,
what's
that,
Vanessa Del Rio?
I think it was called Dane's Brothel was the name of that movie, and it was fake.
What's Vanessa Del Rio doing these days?
She was doing some competition bodybuilding. She has a book coming out, too.
Wow.
And she's just she's doing stuff in New York.
Okay. Who's Ron, last thing. We don't have time, but I'll mention Ron Jeremy's hot sauce also at www.sauce.com.
Yeah. That's delicious, by the way.
Sauce2u.com.
They're having restaurants in California now using that.
www.sauce.com. Take another call for Ron Jeremy. Hello, Jason.
Hey, man.
Hey.
I got a quick question. What's the best advice, like, to last?
To last a long time?
Yeah, okay.
He needs to last a long time?
Yeah, sure. Right.
That's
Longer
than a minute.
That's a very good question. Now, usually when in the movies, we think of things in our minds to take us off the, like something really maybe disgusting to think about, take our attention away from the beautiful girl, or I'll look at the cameraman's head, I'll look at a wallpaper, I'll look at the light switch, so I just get desensitized, because when you think you get to that stage called a whoa, whoa, whoa stage, you know, really having to keep on moving, you can just simply take things out, watch TV, have a sandwich, or use other parts of your body, face, hands. So the girl will say, like, wow, it's like a three-wing circus.
Ginger Lynn said to us when we had her on the show one time that the most important thing for men in the business is on cue to be able to...
That's correct.
So all the guys in porn can do that, huh?
Well, I could do a countdown, which I've done in a lot of my movies. You see my documentary, they go 9, 8, 7, 6. But the thing is, the hardest thing for a guy to do is to be able to get a lift off and perform and eventually let it go on camera, of course. But now with Viagra, it's a lot easier for guys to do it. You know, and a lot of new guys are getting into the business who normally would not have been able to get in. I mean, if you look how it was the last 20 years, you see a lot of the same guys.
Yeah.
Me, Peter North, Randy West, Tom Byron, Rocco. But now you're going to see a lot of new guys because only certain guys could do it. Back in the old days, when a guy comes to a set and goes, oh, I'll have no problem, watch this. 9 times out of 10, boing, no good.
No good.
You know, it's not that easy to do.
One more call for Ron.
But now with Viagra and all these other pills, a lot of guys are taking it, and they're just there. Pop, there it is. You know.
Very good. Let's take one more call for Ron. We got a break. Dana.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to know if Ron's coming to town anytime soon, Baltimore, Washington area.
You gonna be here in D.C. area anytime soon, Ron?
I am, but again, I don't even know until I look at my own calendar. If you look at myspace.com/RonJeremy, got the entire calendar in there for the next few months.
All right, Ron. Hey, we gotta fly. Thank you for waiting for us. And
hey, guys, thank you.
Good luck with VH1 and your hot
sauce. Yeah, guys, make sure it's on Sundays, VH1 Sunday nights, the new Surreal Life Fame Games. It's going to be a blast. It gets more nasty as weeks go by because it's competition, you know.
All right, dude. We'll talk to you soon. Look for you.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ron.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Ron Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
King of porno.
The Hedgehog.
I found out something fascinating about him on his website. He's notoriously frugal. So if you ever see him at an airport, his luggage is usually trash bags.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Shopping bags and trash bags.
Had a nasty cough.
He did. I don't know where he would have picked that up. Perhaps from Annie Sprinkle.
I don't know.
Wow. Just looking at Are you going through the movies?
Yeah.
Any you will pick up tonight?
I've got about 10 favorites.
Over 50 and still beautiful.
I like Booty Duty 5.
Allie McPheel. More than a handful. Charlie's Devils. Finger Licking Good.
Mm.
Still Insatiable. Nymphomercials.
Infomercial.
Lone Greasers.
Rob, can I say this?
Yes. Sluts, Butts, and Housewives.
Yes.
Anal Jeopardy.
How about this one? Big Teat Anal. Blow It Out Your BJ Fantasies.
How about Jiggly Queens 3?
Not as good as 2.
This Little Picky Went to Porno.
American Tushy.
BJ Adventures of Dr. Fellatio 2.
In Your Face 4.
Weeds Gang Bang 6.
Pool Party of Seymour's 1 and 2.
Black Cherry Coeds 3.
Crimson 5.
She Has Skills.
Bondage Queen Kate.
Hey.
Gluteus to the Maximus.
Ass Masters 5.
Romeo and Juliet. I don't get that one. Hmm. Yin Yang Oriental Love Bang.
Anal Al's Adventures.
Hold on. Goddamn.
Dramas, comedies, musicals.
American Tushy. In Your Face.
A love story.
Another White Trash Whore. Golden Bush. Fresh Meat. Crimson Thighs. Bondage Queen. Stuff Your Face. Stuff Your Face Again.
1800 films.
Put It in Reverse 3.
That's an adventure.
Ass Masters 5.
Sluts, Butts, and Housewives.
Anal Al's Adventures. Cyber Anal.
And then this one, just simple one. Fresno Smooth.
Says so much.
Who knows what that would be about?
Say no more.
Ron Jeremy.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Clearly, Chan is a kung fu master, but he revealed to me his other multi-million dollar passion, singing.
Ooh, would you sing something for me?
Ninety-five million people download.
People?
We have 1.3 billion people in China. 93 is nothing.
Right, Jackie Chan. Viva the
Happy Godless, motherless bastards. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Unforgettable. Oh, Jackie Chan.
In every way.
I'm not sure if it's going to be on during the Buzz News show later today, but the,
forevermore.
The mixer. Yes, Ed? What? I see. See you hovering by the microphone. Oh, just, you're just what?
I'm just getting my headphones.
Just getting your headphones, okay.
Oh, my darling.
Glad you had some Chan fact for us.
It's incredible that you are so unforgettable.
I'm sure that Buzz will maybe mention this on his new show. The incredible, now don't take this the wrong way, the incredible pretentiousness of New Yorkers, that there is some type of a natural gas leak in New York.
Apparently it started first thing this morning and they've wafted all over Manhattan.
Now if this happened in Los Angeles, Detroit, Philadelphia, Houston, Dallas, Washington, Baltimore, Sacramento, I mean, you name it. You know what it would be? It would be like a passing story on Around the Nation today.
Right.
You know, but because, really I believe this, because it was in New York.
Yes.
And even after it was painfully obvious that it was not a terrorist activity of any kind.
Right.
It's a freaking gas leak.
Apparently
so. Okay, so you can smell the gas.
I think they isolated it down to where there was a construction site.
Yeah. You smell the gas in Manhattan. You right. smell the gas in a part of New Jersey because there's a tunnel. They came on today with breaking news.
Yeah, they went kind of crazy.
Gas leak in New York City. Please. There's a gas. Hey, there was just a gas leak in this studio right before we came back on the air.
That's why I have the candle.
You don't hear us calling MSNBC for breaking news.
No, and they didn't mention, you didn't hear any mention of the fact that there were all those dead birds in Austin, Texas.
Right. And it really is, it really, you're right, Mike, and it really is a New York City thing, and I found myself getting caught up in it at first, like everybody, you know, oh my gosh, is this the next wave?
And then don't you think it speaks to that feeling of really being isolated, even though Manhattan is so huge? When you're there, you feel, at least I did when I lived there part-time, that I felt isolated. I feel claustrophobic a little bit, that you would feel like there's really, something goes down, you're kind of trapped there. I think that's why people react or overreact as they do.
And then the coverage that I saw before we came into the show today, once they know that it's just a natural gas leak and people will be inconvenienced, but it's nothing that's going to change things forever. They still had the people on the street doing the interviews, and you had the New Yorkers going, well, you know what, tough. We're the toughest city in the world. Ain't nothing can bring us down. It's like, you're breaking into my news for a special report for this?
Yeah.
So once again, I can hear how freaking tough New Yorkers are.
You know it's intense when they're bringing the weathermen in to show you the wind direction?
Oh, yeah.
And they show the arrows. And let's zoom in on the Upper West Side right now. Yeah, you see it's coming right up the Hudson River. There it is. Yeah.
No other city would you get that kind of coverage in. Meanwhile, the story that everyone should be concerned about today, Mike, you mentioned the birds in Austin.
Right.
More important even than that are the birds here in classic rock and rollville, Maryland.
Birds, yeah. Just about time for them to roost.
Are they here yet today?
Let me see if the sometimes you get the earlier. Nope, they're not here yet. Sun hasn't gone down enough. They will be here right, really, almost like clockwork. They get here right as the sun is going down. And, you know, right now you still got the sun up in the sky. You've got a little sunset. But as soon as it gets dark, you'll see I call them the pit bosses. The pit bosses will arrive and sit high in the tree.
Right.
And then they'll fill up all the trees. Buzz, you've analyzed this pretty carefully.
The other day I was out with Buzz, and he was pointing out these are these crows that crap like pterodactyl poop on our cars.
Right. Millions of angry crows.
Buzz pointed out that on the one main poop tree that they all converge in, that there was one black crow, either Heckle or Jekyll, who seemed to be the king, the type A crow.
Yeah, the top.
Yeah, we were kind of watching to see if he would get displaced when the other guys would come around. What they do is, now there's one. That he's circling, he's flying over. There's another one. They're actually, and I'm not making this up.
Starting to gather.
They're starting to circle the window.
They heard us.
Today we're going to do something about it. Rob, what do we have in our arsenal today in our battle against the crows?
We have not only the bullhorn, we have our wicks.
Okay, but really, what do we have?
What do we have?
We have a few firecrackers, and we have something that's a little more than a firecracker.
Right.
Does it
start with M, and does it end with 80?
You know, I think it's something beyond that.
Wow.
Oh,
fantastic.
Have you thought about strategy as to how we're going to lay that down? Are we going to put it at the base of the tree, or are you going to light it and kind of throw it up towards the tree?
You don't want to throw it at them, because then it's going to land on somebody and kill them.
Okay.
You throw it towards the base of the tree, and because there's buildings between the trees, the sound is going to be projected up to them.
Oh, that might work.
So we'll go outside with the M. If not the M80, I'm guessing maybe the M160.
Have you guys taken a straw poll as to which one of you will be doing the night in jail tonight? Who's going to be doing the time when the cops arrive?
As long
as no windows break in that new building next door, we'll be fine.
I think we're fine, but we're going to go outside sometime in the next hour, as soon as the crows get there.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, it's Don and Mike. This is Robert.
Hi, Robert. What's up?
Hey, I hadn't heard y'all mention anything about the plastic explosives they found trying to get on a cruise ship in Miami.
No, we haven't mentioned that yet.
Is that
they found traces of C4, but they're investigating. Everything seems to be under control.
Is this the big thing they had down there where they stopped the truck and all that? There's been a lot of stuff going on in Miami.
Right, there have been at least two incidents. No, I think this is a separate second incident.
C4.
Yeah, you know, you start drawing the lines. You know, you got New York, Austin, now Miami. It begs the question, you know, that's too many coincidences there.
Yeah, but all these things are checking out negative, and they're saying that in Austin that, well, Buzzy, I don't want to step on your news. You're going to have the bird story on your news.
Yeah.
As far as the birds in Austin, they said that could commonly happen when these nuisance birds are actually poisoned by people.
And as we found out in New York today,
it was a gas leak at a construction site.
A gas leak.
Right. So don't paint any panicking conspiracy theories.
And remember, the lesson that we learned today,
Wouldn't it be fun if there really is a terrorist attack?
The lesson that we learned is the only city that it matters is New York.
That's right.
It's New York.
If they can smell it in the newsrooms at NBC and CBS, it's news.
Oh, and you could tell that was a big deal to them, And right outside our studio.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Here we are very bravely putting up with the smell of what? Of gas?
Yeah, yeah,
gas.
Sulfur.
Hello, Don.
We put up with the smell of gas very bravely.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
For your birds, two words. Crestone antifreeze.
Yeah, what do you do with it?
you stick it in the pan, stick it somewhere where they can start drinking it, like a, you know, a bird bath or whatever.
All right, well, hold on one second, friend. They're in a tree that's got to be like 40 feet high in the air.
That'll be the Braveheart method of getting rid of the birds.
Yeah, and the cats and the dogs.
Birds going, you'll never take away our freedom.
Squirrels.
Hey, another method is get one of those fake owls that people put on, like, boats and stuff.
I've seen those. I've seen the fake owls that are supposed to prevent.
The owl is a predator.
Why don't we just buy an eagle
or an owl suit?
Isn't that like a scarecrow, though?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I've never really bought into the whole scarecrow thing that works with animals anyway.
Oh, you should see Charlotte's Web.
Hello, Don, it's my show. Tell the truth. You went to see it even without your daughters, didn't you?
I did. It's my third time. I've seen it a third time now. And boy, those crows, they are terrified of that scarecrow.
My girl got any sexy scenes with a pig in that one?
No, none. I mean, your lady, DF?
Yeah, just going to go back.
DF.
Go back to that for 2007. Good old DF.
DF.
Okay, Tape City, here we go. My God. Rob, how many tapes do you have of James Brown's Crazy Widow?
All of them.
All of them?
All of them. The ones that are underlined are the best.
I have a question, because I watched that... That DVD, not DVD, but it was a high-def concert at the House of Blues. Does James Brown's widow, did she perform with him?
Yeah,
when he was...
she's the lead backup vocal.
Hmm. Oh, okay. All right.
What's her name again? Heine?
Heine.
Is that her name?
Tommy Ray Heine Brown.
Hold on. We have tapes of her. Which one is good, you say, in Rehab or Falling in Love?
They're all good. Okay. Falling in Love is very good.
Falling in Love. Is about falling in love with the late James Brown?
She met him.
Okay, here we go.
He fell in love probably the moment that I met him. Probably the moment that I met him.
Why?
Because he had such presence. And when I met him, I immediately started working with him. So me being a musician, he commanded the stage, and he just knew everything about everything I loved. And I had been familiar with James Brown. I knew who he was. And I loved him already. Yeah. And it was just easier to love him when I saw that it was really true. This guy was music.
Did it get serious right away then?
Actually, no. I kind of wanted to hold it off, and I would lay with him, and we would sleep together at first. But then after a few nights of that, we did get physical. But a few nights, I thought it was right to wait. I thought we should wait.
I would lay with him.
I would lay with him. Hold on. What did you say? What did I cut off?
Because Larry says, how long did you wait? And she says, 3 nights.
Come on, girl.
Girl.
As dead as Robin.
Oh, come on, girl.
Come on, girl.
All right. How you doing? What's up, Doc? How you doing? Oh, come on, girl.
Wow, girl, what are you doing?
I'm really truly amused by that.
It's over.
Okay, hold on. I'm bored of the James Brown wife's tapes. Let me see. What else do we have that's new today? God, Donald Trump? Still, this Rosie O'Donnell thing.
He was mellow today. He was mellow on the Regis show today.
Taking money out of her big fat ass would be probably something that's very easy.
Okay, so that's Donald Trump. His show was on last night. Didn't get good ratings. He was on the Regis show today. And also Rosie O'Donnell came back on The View today.
Looking fantastic.
Everybody's waiting to hear what she's going to say about Donald Trump,
right?
Because for the last week, all he's been saying is she's fat and that...
Taking money out of her big fat ass would be probably something that's very easy.
So here she is today on The View after she has been, quote-unquote, on vacation for a week.
I think I'm back from vacation. Happy to see you in one piece, though.
Happy to see me in one piece. I'm still standing, ladies and gentlemen.
God, that voice.
Yeah.
Pretty.
She looked excessively puffy today.
The voice and the body and just...
You know what? When I saw her today when she came out on The View, my feelings were this. She was saying she was on vacation. She did have a tan, but it looked to me like maybe she was really not on vacation and she got the tanning salon tan. Because she had the puffy eyes that way.
Oh, I keep spraying it on.
Mm-hmm.
Over the weekend, I was watching... We'll get back to Rosie tape in a second because about The View... On some special Sean Hannity, square-headed Sean Hannity had. It was like Sean Hannity's America, where he interviews people he thinks are important.
Okay.
He gave about 15 minutes to that, I almost said a bad word, TWA is a good airline.
Really?
There's a word. Hey, well, you know
he
the word.
He gave some rosy time?
No. He gave time to Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Oh, really?
Where she sat there like she's got a freaking clue. Like she knows how to do anything besides open her mouth and suck.
She's got the whole rap as being the ultra-conservative and the only conservative member of that show. So that's why she gets that status, even though she doesn't have anything to back it up.
I understand, but I'm watching this and I'm thinking, hold on, Sean Hannity, you're interviewing her like a newsmaker.
Maybe, who knows, you know, while, was it Tim Hasselbeck?
Yeah.
You know, the backup quarterback for the Giants while he's, you know, out there, you know, somewhere in some away city. You know, maybe Sean Hannity's knocking the bottom out of that,
you know,
huh?
I believe she's so friggin' Republican.
Oh,
she wouldn't, you know.
Yeah. Don't touch me. That's Tim's property.
And I'm watching this. I'm going, why is Elizabeth Hasselbeck speaking for the Republican Party? I understand that she's one voice out of four or five of these bitches on The View. But hold on a second. What's her background? Oh, yeah. She was on Survivor.
Well, there you go.
She was on Survivor, and she's kind of a piece of ass.
Well, look at any of those mouthpieces. Do you really have to have any background? Do you have anything to back it up? You don't need anything to back it up. You just have to be loud and be able to shout people down.
No, but at least the other people spin it so like they've got some resume.
Right.
With her, there's nothing to spin. What's the deal, honey? I was on a show where I was in a bikini for 6 weeks on an island, and now I'm on The View. And all of a sudden, because I'm a Republican, I'm being interviewed by Sean Hannity. Duh!
Speaking of Republicans, did you happen to see Bill O'Reilly on Regis today?
I did not.
Bill O'Reilly, now I forgot. And I really do forget. When you see a talking head on TV, you really forget about how tall they are. Bill O'Reilly is a tall guy.
Yeah.
He's a very tall guy. And that was really demonstrated beautifully next to Regis, who next to Bill O'Reilly today looked like Vern Troyer.
I got some Regis tapes, too. We'll get back to that Rosie O'Donnell thing. She says nothing.
She gives a look to the camera.
But she comes back on The View, and the quality on this is really not very good. Just her screaming like that. She ends up saying she has no comment on Donald Trump.
Right. Yeah, now either that's her on her own or they're telling her to play it that way.
Right. Here's some Regis stuff. You mentioned, what's his name on Regis today?
Yeah, O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly.
Did you catch any of the opening part with Regis and Kelly?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Here's Regis reading like the way when you goof on him reading.
Oh, my God. He has some vision issues.
Hold on. Listen to this.
Better living in 07 week
the year
continues
we're living
with tips for how to quit smoking.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Really? Wow.
That's Regis reading the cue card.
Wow. Let's hear it one more time.
Better living in the...
Hear it one more time, and then you do it the way that you would do it.
All right, very good.
Okay, here's the real Regis.
Better living in 07 week continues with tips for how to quit smoking.
Yes.
What?
Okay. Go. Better living in 2000 with tips on how to quit smoking. What? I can't read that crap.
He's so dizzy.
Kelly, you smell good, though.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You smell musky.
Hello?
Hello?
Dan.
Let's go to Dan the Man. Are you there, Dan the Man?
All right, well, that's what's going on. How about Andrew? Don and Mike show. Andrew.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Fine. You are listening to the Don and Mike show. Better living in 07 week continues with tips for how to quit smoking?
Yes.
Okay.
What is that again, Mike?
Better living in 2007 with tips on how to quit smoking? Huh?
Very good, Reese.
Jesus. Get it closer.
Yes, Andrew, what's happening?
Did you guys hear when John Madden said that Tony Romo's balls were all over the place?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Winner. That is a winner, friend.
Yeah, I heard that during the...
Okay, great.
That was a great game on Saturday night. We got some tapes of that, too, don't we?
Poor Tony Romo.
Tony Romo.
Here's Dramatica. Romo holds. 19-yard field goal attempt. Oh, and it's fumbled by Romo, and then Romo's going to run to the end zone, and he's going to get tackled by Jordan Babineau. Amazing.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Suck on that, losers.
Hold on. Do we have any tapes of really... Oh, here's Tony Romo himself. Here we go.
He was ready.
I felt bad for the guy after the game.
Didn't catch the ball, and I didn't get it down. And I don't know. It happened pretty quick. It just didn't get the ball down, and it obviously cost us the game. I don't know that I've ever felt this low, you know, at any point. So I don't know. It's,
You don't need to say anything. You don't need to make a comment. That says it all right there.
And aren't they just killing Tony Romo?
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be with him the rest of his life. He's going to wake up every day.
That's so untrue, too, in the NFL or in any other sport. He comes back and he's able to win a Super Bowl. It's not going to happen. Right?
He's going to wake up and pick up the phone and go, hey, Carrie Underwood.
Right.
Why don't you come over here and do some Ron Jeremy on me right now?
Play the sympathy card.
I'm feeling real bad. Why don't you come play my harmonica for me?
I think you ought to open up a rib place.
Here's more of Tony Romo.
I take responsibility for messing up at the end there, and that's my fault. And, you know, cost the Dallas Cowboys a playoff win. And, you know, it's going to sit with me a long time. For it to end like that and for me to be the cause is very, very tough to swallow right now.
That baby. We have the best baby sound in radio, I swear to God.
I feel for him. That's
tough, my God.
There's tough. And then,
as tough as if you're a pigeon in Austin, Texas.
And then you've also got Parcells. Hold on, where's he? He looks like he's got your butt problem, Rob. Really, he looks like his butt's about ready to explode.
You got
to
finish the games. I know. We just didn't do it. We just didn't do it.
That's all he had to say.
Thank you, Bill.
That's all he had to say.
William.
That amuse you?
I'm really truly amused by that.
William Parcells.
Gotcha, Oprah.
Tony Romo. Let's get a few comments from Tony Romo.
Well, you know, at the very least, you got to say for Tony Romo, he stood up at the end, and he had his press conference, and he said, what can I say? I lost the game.
And you do it. At a certain point, you do have to say it's only a game, but, you know, who's a fan of the sport really can come back and say that.
How great is that? Oh, my goodness. A lot more to get through. We got to do this so we can do that later. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, they got cameras. Are we on Cops? I love that show. Bad Boys, Bad Boys. Who you gonna call?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello! Hello!
Hi there.
From Atlanta, Georgia.
Who are you?
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Who are you?
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
And Peter, if you don't consider too arrogant,
who he?
That was Al Sharpton.
The Reverend Al Sharpton.
He was in the middle of like Chris Hansen day. Isn't that right, Chris?
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Hi, Chris.
Right? Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I'll just be your secret lover.
Celebrating 20 years of genius. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right. The Blades. Outside the Blades.
They're beginning to roost. They're circling. They've actually hit the very first tree out on the perimeter. They'll be working their way back in. It's time to come home.
We're going outside to take care of those birds in a second, all that crap on our cars.
Yeah.
These pictures that we're going to talk about here in a second, to give a copy to Mike, put this up on our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com, on today's steaming log. Inadvertently, how many years ago did we have that kid from Who's the Boss on the show?
That was like
95? 95.
Skippy?
No, not
Mark
not the,
Price?
Not that guy. The guy that ended up being a queer.
The blonde kid.
The
ugly kid.
A homo. We had him on the show and it kind of...
And Skippy was family ties, right?
Yes.
Right.
It kind of slipped out one day, didn't it?
What happened is you and Frida had gotten in an argument as to whether or not he was gay. Frida said she was. You didn't think he was. She said
Frida
she knew
said he was. yeah, that's right.
And so he was actually going to Stanford at the time, so we just went online and we called him.
I remember that. Now, I remember that. So we got him on the air, and the guy says, yeah, I'm gay, and it's no big deal.
Right.
Well, it turns out we were way ahead of the curve.
We were.
If you go to trent.blogspot.com, I'll tell you it is a gay get-to-know-you site, and there are pictures that Danny
Pintoro has
put up. He was the little boy Jonathan on Who's the Boss. They are kind of explicit. Here you go, Mike. It's
he's not a little boy anymore.
Well, it's his stuff. He's sitting in a chair and he's got his stuff hanging out. And in one picture, he's actually grabbing his stuff with a jockstrap. But then there isn't.
Well, he's showing in the top picture. He's showing something else.
Oh, I see. It's a whole new arrangement you're talking about. Oh, I see. He's showing his bung, and then he's anyway. If you want to see his kibbles and bits. There you go. It'll be on our website.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that.
Wow. You're very welcome.
No one else is.
That's nasty. Those are new photos.
How about that internet?
New photos of...
yeah, that internet's real special, Rob.
Of Danny. So we'll see if we can get him back on the show to get a follow.
That was quite a shocker, those photos you just handed me. I'm still trying to digest them.
Pretty good.
Whoa, I also like the red writing that you have here.
Yikes.
Like one has the arrow going yikes, and the other is whoa.
and that's Larry David.
Pretty good.
And Larry David.
Pretty good.
There's the jeans behind Seinfeld. Oh. Incidentally, funny, I think funny, that after Michael Richards dropped the N-bomb and all that crazy stuff with the aforementioned Al Sharpton, where is that tape of Al Sharpton? Here he is, Al Sharpton.
And Peter, if you don't consider too arrogant.
Okay, right. Is he
talking about St. Peter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came out about a month ago and said everyone should, or was it Jesse Jackson? I get all of my black activists mixed up.
You see the Reverend Al and also Jesse Jackson show up at a lot of the same events.
Who said you should boycott buying the Seinfeld box set? Because
that might have been Reverend Al.
Well, totally went bananas upside down on him that it's the best-selling DVD thus far. And what?
I was just turning this down.
Oh, you don't you don't like looking at the picture of who's the boss boy's genitals?
It's a little bit disturbing, so. Face down, ass up.
How many of you are like me? Now, I watch Seinfeld. I've watched it before. But if it's on now,
right.
I watch it just to watch Michael Richards.
Sure.
Okay? And...
But for signs.
And, of course, there's no signs on that. First off, never a black guy on Seinfeld.
Right.
Like,
well, you're right about that.
I think... Yeah, the guy that was the fake Johnny Cochran.
Right.
And maybe in the one where they think that the accountant has a problem with blow because he's sniffing all the time, and it is a sweater that Jerry loaned to Kramer, and I only know about this episode because there was a black guy in it. There's a black guy who delivers the pizza at the very end of the episode,
right.
And he sneezes, which is when they figure out that it's a mohair thing, it's not a Coke thing. Anyway, in the midst of all of this, doing some Seinfeld searches, mainly trying to find stories about how the number 7 sold against, like, volume 6, volume 5, volume 4.
Okay.
And I stumbled upon something that is a lot more interesting than that, trust me. The top 10 Seinfeld guests who got their big break on the Seinfeld show.
There were a lot actually of them. Went on to bigger and better things.
Right. The number 1 on this list, I think everybody knows this, you know, they're spectacular and they're real, Terry Hatcher.
Oh, but hadn't she been on TV before that?
No, she was on that show before Lois and Clark.
She was. Oh, okay.
Came
all right. Didn't know that.
She's number 1. Here are some of the other people who were on the Seinfeld show who maybe you don't know. Let me see. Do you know who John Grise is? John Grise?
No, I don't. No.
I didn't either. He's Uncle Rico. Okay. Oh, from Napoleon
Uncle Rico
Dynamite.
From Napoleon Dynamite.
Now,
he waited a long time to get that break.
Uh-huh. In Seinfeld, he was the homeless guy named Rusty. Now, you might not remember this. He was in quite a few episodes. In the one, the bookstore, where George is bringing the book into the, I think, in the commode with him. And Kramer gets pulled around New York on a rickshaw. This is the guy who's pulling the rickshaw.
The homeless guy, yeah.
The homeless guy.
All right.
Here's another one, another person. Courtney Cox. Now, technically, she was in the Ace Ventura movies and in some other stuff.
Before Seinfeld?
Before Seinfeld.
Right.
But this is where we got her big break. She played Jerry's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
How about the guy who was on, what's that show about dead people on HBO, the Mortician show?
Six Feet Under.
Okay. Who was the guy who was also on that sports show?
Peter Krause.
Right. He got his big break on Seinfeld?
He was Tim the neo-Nazi.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
On Seinfeld. Also on Seinfeld, as Jerry's girlfriend, Ellen, was the chick who's Ben Stiller's wife.
Okay,
all right. Who played Marcia Brady in the movies.
Christine Taylor,
that's right.
Not really mega, I mean, outside of Terry Hatcher.
Hold on, then you get to the last three are the biggest. Michael Chiklis.
The commish?
Right. He played a guy who hosted a party in Long Island. Maybe you remember this one. The one that Jerry and Elaine became stranded at this guy's party. They
I remember that. Yep.
Michael Chiklis was in that. Megan Mullally, who I know.
Mullally, right.
Whose show was just canceled.
Her talk show.
Yeah. That show was just canceled. She, let me see. She was on the show, blah, 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 blah.
Did she use her big voice on that show?
No, she's some girl who goes home with George for the funeral of her aunt. And one more that I didn't realize, in the actual pilot of the show, Martiska, I always screw this lady's
Mariska
name up.
Mariska Hargitay.
Thank you, Buzz, from Law & Order SVU.
Really?
She's in that, and apparently she has quite a featured role on that show.
And she is looking, she seems to...
Have you seen her long hair?
She just looks better and better.
You know
she's doing
is?
Some sort of like public service announcement now, right?
The miracle of childbirth.
That's what it is.
She gave out childbirth.
She looks awesome.
I mean, she delivered a child, and now she is bearing all of the residual goodness.
But that show, Law & Order, never did her real justice. I mean, now you're seeing her. She's doing some public service announcement, and it's just incredible.
She's
got a really... A very good close-up on her face, and you called that a little early, you know?
Well, who's...
You've always thought that she was double special.
Who's her mom?
Jane Mansfield, the sweater girl.
Boobs, right. And on Law & Order, they always strap her down in the,
right.
the beginning
mm-hmm.
episodes.
And they give her kind of a dowdy haircut, too.
Yeah, well, now her hair's a little longer.
Oh, very sexy.
Looking nice. Yeah, looking
wonderful.
Good. Yeah. And who else? Well, I've got about 20 other people that were on Seinfeld.
Those are the biggies?
Those are the biggies.
There were a lot.
Don and Mike's show.
Donna Mike.
Hey.
Just wanted to apologize to Rob. There is another episode of Seinfeld with a black guy where George goes to watch TV over the house and they won't let him in the door.
Where George goes to where?
To watch the black family's house and they won't let him in the door to watch the movie.
Oh, all right. That's true.
And the popcorn.
That's another episode of Seinfeld.
We're up to three or four now.
Yeah, I should be up in two or three episodes.
George.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
There's an episode of Seinfeld where Kramer falls asleep in a tanning booth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And he looks like he has blackface on. And he has to go meet his black girlfriend's parents.
All right. You know, that's one that I don't really remember, but that's one that...
Sounds like they got into the subject very deeply in that episode.
If they reran it now, that would be a great one to see now, for God's sake.
I'd love to see that picture.
It's not to be confused where... Kramer's using, like, regular butter to baste himself, right?
Oh, no, that's the Kenny Rogers roasted chicken one.
Where he turns into, like, a chicken.
Yeah. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, this is Clyde. I just wanted to let you know that Courtney Cox was on Family Ties. She was Michael J. Fox's girlfriend.
Okay, but her big break was on Seinfeld. I mean, yes, she was kind of known for that, and as I said, she was in some other crap as well.
Right? Mark Skippy Price was never on Seinfeld, though. No. And look
all
at
right,
him, to the best of our knowledge.
All right, thank you.
And if you're keeping track of Don and Mike show history, Mark Skippy Price voted worst guest of all time.
Oh, I disagree. I think you got a 180, Mike. Best guest of all time.
Best guest of all
Hello,
time.
Hello, Don and Mike awesome. Show.
Let's get
Hello.
Him back.
Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Yeah. Get her done.
I want to tell you that Terry Hatcher didn't start on Seinfeld. She started on MacGyver. She was Penny Parker.
Okay, thank you.
Repeating role.
It seems to me that Jerry Seinfeld is really way out of line, trying to claim responsibility for all these people that got their big break on
Everybody
his show.
Is calling right now to pick at the nits.
Right.
Please
right.
do not pick at the nits.
I have it here. Paul Giamatti actually was in Cyber.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show.
The
Hello, Karen.
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
It's the real Karen who you play the song for.
Oh, well, we had another Karen show up that actually kind of stole that from you.
No, don't get it.
No.
No,
because the other Karen, Rob, has now taken the song.
She's the number one. Karen the whore. She's the number one Karen now.
Did she take my song?
Yeah.
Yes. She sure
So that probably means it'll be never played for you.
You're going to have to change your name now.
I was so good not calling for up to a year to save the song.
Look at Rob. Rob's dying. Rob is dying to play it.
Karen, what do you want, Karen?
That's your OCC. That's
Jeremy,
your obsessive compulsion.
Jeremy Piven, who Buzz had trouble pronunciating his name one day.
Yeah, yes, Gladys, Karen.
Jeremy Piven. He got his start on Seinfeld, and that's when he didn't have his hair transplant. And he played George in the NBC...
correct, in the show within a show. When they
the
did
show
the,
within
the,
a show.
The
and
pilot.
You should see him. He looks just like George. Bald.
All right, thank you.
Wow. Yes.
So Jeremy Piven, where was Jeremy Piven on your list?
Yeah, hello, Donna Mike.
Hey,
why don't you pick this net? Hello, Donna Mike.
Yeah, Dynamite.
Yeah, hi.
I just wanted to say that also Daphne from Frasier got her start on Seinfeld also.
She was the virgin, right?
Yes, that was that episode.
But again, it was simply a top 10 list of celebrities that I stumbled upon. Hundreds, thousands got their start on that show.
I think it was also, it wasn't Courtney Cox, but I believe it was Jennifer Aniston who got her start with Ron Jeremy and Anal Al's Adventures.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going?
Okay, my friend.
There was also that other episode of Don and Mike, or Seinfeld, whenever Costanza thinks that his co-worker doesn't, or that co-worker thinks that Costanza doesn't like black people.
What? Oh, hold on. Why is it that I remember every black episode of Seinfeld? You're right, it's the one where...
Because you care?
It's the one where George's boss thinks he doesn't have any black friends,
so
he invites an exterminator to come to Yankee Stadium, and he takes him out to dinner as his friend, right?
Yeah, he shows up to dinner in his past exterminator uniform, and George is there.
You remember the one where Kramer invited the guy that played him was Arsenio Hall and Eddie Murphy, and he invited some people over from Africa, and they came over from Africa? And Kramer invited him to come to America.
Don't you remember the one they all went over there? They built a school. They built a school, all their Hollywood friends.
Prominent. And Oprah Winfrey was in that.
Sure she was.
Got her start. Got her big break.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Todd. Hello, Big Head Todd.
Yeah.
And the Monsters. Hello, Todd.
Have you watched television, Todd?
Oh, yeah.
You have a TV?
Yeah, I got the big one.
What have you seen? Have you seen Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. The guy took my exterminator take there. That's why I love you guys. It's hard to get on, so romp and chilling.
Right, what if...
Love you.
Would you say romp and chomp?
Romp and chung. I've talked to you before about that, Rochester. About 5 years ago, you guys, we had...
This guy's got marbles in his mouth. All I hear is Rochester.
No, remember you guys did the thing where you used to call the guy from New York City? You mentioned something. I forgot his name, but we did a take from you. Roop and chew, man. Good night. I love you.
Does anybody understand anything that guy was saying?
Roof and chew? What?
I thought he said romp and chomp.
Romp and chomp, roof and chew.
All right, one more call, then we're going to go out and kill us some birds. Hello,
we're not going to kill them, Don. We're going to scare them.
Frighten them.
Remember that time those birds were on Seinfeld? They all got their break with him.
And those are black birds.
Roger McGinnis, all the birds. Hello.
Boom.
Two every season. Turn. Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
Have you been watching television?
John Cleese was in a movie with Val Kilmer called Weird Science.
Right.
Or Real Genius, I'm sorry.
John Cleese was not in Real Genius.
He was Laszlo Ahlefeld.
No, he was not.
Not?
What is that? You mean the guy that goes into the closet?
Into the closet, yeah.
No way. That's not John Cleese.
Yeah, I think so.
I guarantee you, I will bet $1 million that is not John Cleese.
And what does that have to do with Seinfeld?
You mentioned John Cleese was on the Seinfeld episode.
No, he didn't.
You never said John Cleese.
Oh, you didn't.
You got that wrong, too.
Boy, are you embarrassed.
That's two mistakes in one call.
Ask that out.
Okay,
ask that out.
You know what I did?
Real Genius is one of my all-time favorite movies.
I know you like Monty.
You're laborers. Labor. That's what you get for not having an education.
I like Mighty Python not as much as you. I did watch over the break, and now for something completely different.
Oh, do you know what my daughter, my 11-year-old daughter, requested as a movie for? It was not one of the Ron Jeremy collection. It was actually Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yep.
Which was amazing to me. Apparently, the kids that age love this movie now. It's amazing.
This brings us all around full circle. I was just looking up Real Genius. It does not have John Cleese.
Of course not.
But it does have Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico is Laszlo.
John Grease.
Is that who it is? Uncle Rico is the guy that goes into the closet. Now it makes it. Of course, he looks exactly like him.
That's
Uncle Rico.
Guy.
But boy, Uncle Rico. You know, Uncle Rico, long time between roles.
Hello, Don and Mike. Show. Hello. Hi, welcome to the We Watch TV show.
This is a movie.
Yeah. Oh, I bet this guy's about TV, though.
Been on TV. Hi, have you been watching television
or the movies? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're the critic.
Yes, is it TV or movies for you?
TV.
Ah, TV. Let me guess. Seinfeld?
Seinfeld. Good guy.
Right. Good show. Popular show. What about it?
I got Kyle Gass was the smoker in the episode from Tenacious D. And I also...
Hold on. You mean the other guy in Tenacious D?
The fat, bald guy from Tenacious D?
Yes.
That doesn't count.
And Jennifer Coolidge is the masseuse is Stifler's mom in American Pie.
Oh, doesn't count either.
Stifler's mom has been in a lot of those good movies.
Good for her.
Are you like me? Did you think about going and getting that whatever the straight-to-DVD American Pie was when they showed the ad, like, before Christmas?
Yeah.
Just because we got Eugene Levy again doing the same thing? You know, you're a Stifler.
Eugene Levy is getting funny-looking. He's always been funny, but he's getting funnier-looking.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Nick.
I got one more black guy episode from Seinfeld.
All right.
One with the Puerto Rican Day Parade, where they're all stuck in traffic, and it's like the black guy, he's like Jerry's in his car trying to maneuver ahead of him. And so they're constantly like arguing with each other.
All right, well, you can
It was kind of like the last 2 years.
Out of almost 200 episodes, I guess they maybe had 10 or 15 that actually featured people of color.
Is that enough for a box set? I'm giving that a round of applause.
Enough,
yeah, that's what I thought.
It is not enough for a box set.
Yeah.
But it would be more than the Negroes on Friends box set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because on the show Friends, good luck finding anybody.
I know.
Anybody
I know.
At all.
No, Friends was very segregated.
This is Robert the Mailman.
Not right.
Till the very end. Who's that piece of ass they brought in to be the big ostrich guy's girlfriend on Friends? She was on Talk Soup or something like that.
Yeah.
She's a piece of ass.
Join us tomorrow when we'll be discussing what white actors got their big breaks on Sanford and Son.
Her name is Tracy Neal.
Yo, shut up. I'm Tracy Neal.
Holly Morris. Oh,
no. You can't think of her last name. Her first name is J.C.
I saw J.C. today.
J.C. Hayward?
Va, 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 boom.
Baby. Are you right? Listen, are we ready with the M80 or M160, whatever it is?
Yeah, got it.
All right. Mike, what's the deal with the birds outside?
Can't see with the glare, but they're in the trees.
Right. Yep, they're in the trees outside.
As you know, we've talked for a while about these goddamn birds outside, these black crows that really just crap on all of the buildings in our
Everywhere.
Little executive park here.
They're coming to scare you, children.
And these birds, they all flock in a tree together, over 100 black crows that do nothing but have big elephant-sized poops that come out of their little bird butt.
Mm-hmm.
And for God's sakes, we're going to take them down today.
What we're going to do tonight is we're going to encourage them to relocate.
Be right back. Little story we like to call Meet the M80.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, Jerry,
you have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child. And the child will ask for things that they shouldn't be given.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll make them ultimately less happy. It'll be a better feeling for them. They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
Right.
Well, you know, before we had taken our hiatus, I would have agreed with you in mocking him, Mike. But now...
Now you think he's a genius?
He makes a lot of sense.
Well, as usual, you're right.
Let them prey on you, Don and Mike.
All right, well, let's get set to kill some crows.
You're going to tell me that you don't have no black cat, no Roman candles, or screaming memes? You don't got no lady fingers, buzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity-doo-dahs, crap flappers? No whistling bung holes?
No spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, whisker do's, whisker don'ts,
right.
Cherry bombs,
yes.
Nips of dazers,
check.
With or without the scooter
right.
Stick,
check.
Or one single whistling kitty chaser.
Snakes and sparklers are the only ones I like.
Wet. That might be your problem. It's not what you like.
Yeah.
It's the consumer.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Hold on. Give me my wireless microphone.
We had a dramatic moment a minute ago. All the crows flew out of the tree as if they were practicing their evacuation.
Hello.
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 They say hello, test. Robert, I'd love
to.
Hello.
Hello.
Is that operated? There we go. We're on the air.
We're queer.
Let's go outside.
Hello.
Let's make this happen.
No.
Buzz, what did you say the update on the crows was?
Just before we came back from the break, the crows, as if rehearsing their evacuation, all left the tree at once.
Yeah, you know what?
They're very agitated today. And
they
came back.
Agitated. They're up there.
Yeah, they are now.
Look at these sons of bitches. All right, we're outside our beautiful classic Rockville, Maryland studios now. This is the tree of Bird S.
This is the main tree that dumped on your car the other day and has continuously dumped on all the cars. You'll notice that the configuration of our parking lot when you used to have loads of cars down here, they were kind of choice parking spaces.
And there are 10 choice spots that are not being used.
And we are directly underneath their favorite tree. And their favorite tree is where they bomb from. And speaking of bombs, here comes Rob Spiewak.
Hi, Robbie. All right, so first we have the bullhorn, which is supposed to scare them, right?
Right. You got the siren and you got...
All right, watch out. There's a car coming.
Hey! Keep it moving. Nothing to see here. Keep it moving, Explorer. Keep it moving, Yukon. Attention! People in this high-rise building!
Hey, look at the birds jump when...
They move. They moved when you put that up there.
Hey, you birds! You stupid MF-ers! Get out of here! Stop crapping on my car! Come back so we can shoot off the M-80.
He scared them with
gone.
They're gone. That's all it took. Now they're going to come back.
Okay, now.
Or maybe they're not going to come back. You succeeded. Your violent words succeeded in chasing them away.
Like there's still a couple up there.
They're two diehards. Those are the leaders. They're two diehards. Now, does the wind have anything to do with the fact that they're a little more skittish than normal? Because, you know, remember that night that we were down here and they had pooped on your car and we stood underneath and there was one on the lowest branch just looking at it going, yeah, I did that.
Hey, there's someone up in the apartment building up there looking down here.
You're welcome.
The authorities will run us right out of town.
All right.
Well, do you want to go ahead and just see, because there's a lingerer. See that, those two up there?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get rid of the last two.
Light it, boy.
All right.
Those are the leaders.
Here's some fun now.
Here we go, big fun. Now make sure it doesn't go underneath the car. It's a little windy. Be careful.
Oh, my God.
I don't like these things. People can get your hand. You can put your eye out.
Quarter of a stick of dynamite.
Quite a change in temperature here in the Washington, D.C. area. The temperature goes down to about 20 degrees. How you doing with that, Rob? Rob, how old would that firecracker be?
A couple years.
Don's freezing.
This firecracker came from my grandfather's estate, and that's no lie.
Oh, okay. Very good.
What?
All right, Rob's going to try to light it.
Torch to light that thing?
Something that'll light. Oh,
there you go. He's got it.
Oh,
had it.
Almost had it.
Come on, boy.
This is safe. Anyone with a better lighter?
How about those Bic? How about those Bic products?
Buzz, do you have a better lighter that Rob can use?
His lighter's not lighting.
Does anybody have a lighter we can use?
To light our fire... to light our firecracker. We should point out that here in Washington, D.C., although, you know, just before 6 o'clock, it is dark. And some people are just settling in.
Here's
all right, let's see what happens.
Almost, Robbie. There you go.
All right, let's see what happens. See, it scares them. They're the ones up top. They're gone! Yes, they flew away. Yeah, bye, suckers.
Goodbye, MF Experts. Bye, you bastards. Stupid.
Whoa, watch out, Dom, watch out.
Watch out.
Who's a dud? Rob decided to throw a firecracker directly under your ass. All right, now you got another one?
What are you doing?
He's just lighting off more firecrackers.
Thank you, Mike.
I think you saved my life.
to it, boy.
You know what? That's the problem with 20-year-old firecrackers.
20-year-old firecrackers, God. Hey, we got rid of them. They're gone.
It's the bullhorn, Mike.
Now, here's the question. Will they have the guts to come back? Rob is still trying his dud firecrackers. Huh?
Want to yell at him a little bit?
Yeah, well, I have a different attitude.
Go ahead.
All right.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. He's calling me and learn to fly. Birds, please come back. Please come back to us. I miss you. It was one of the biggest laughs I've ever had, seeing all that poop on Don's car.
Hey.
It was a special evening. It truly was. Attention, lady on the balcony. See her over there, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, honey? You're watching TV. We're looking.
We're getting away from him right now.
Lift up your shirt.
We...
Your teeth.
They're guys.
Oh,
they're dudes.
And they're doing it. What?
That's Danny Pintoro.
Danny Pintoro right now.
Awesome people of this condo building. We've just gotten rid of the ugly crows.
You can thank Don and Mike.
You can thank Don and Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Citizens of the condo, we're happy to have gotten rid of your bird problem. Thank you very much. You won't be hearing from those crows anymore. Thank you, and good night. Anybody out there want a Buzz Burbank autograph?
Stop by.
Buzz is standing by.
Come on in.
Hey, can you guys hear us up there? Are you out on your balcony? Scream something. Scream real loud.
It's like a 14-story building we're next to. Here in beautiful Rock and Rollville, Maryland.
Now they're...
What? We can't hear you. Say it again.
Bro,
I'm
gonna
get your
ass.
I don't know. Something in car. I heard car. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But you know what?
Have a happy day.
We are successful bird exterminators. And did you realize that this many people lived in this building? I kind of thought it was abandoned.
Hey, we thought that was a crack house.
Oh, look at it. Well, it's got a little Christmas tree up there. Okay.
Yeah, that freaking Christmas tree, too.
Wow.
Come back in and get warm.
Hold on a second, Mike.
What's happening out here?
You, walking into the chiropractor's building, turn the other way.
Isn't a bullhorn great?
Bullhorns are special.
Go on the street, yell at people.
Hey, but you know what? You got rid of 99% of the birds. There were two that were left, and we got rid of them with the M80. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I call success.
Agreed, Mike.
Good job.
Beautiful.
Good one. Nice.
I like that. All right, we're taking off all our equipment now, our hazmat suits.
You know, sometime we should really make it a project, try to get to know some of those people in the building next door.
Hey, man, don't you think that building next door might be really an inexhaustible resource for this show?
And
wireless microphones could go up into that building.
Looks like we got some listeners over there as well.
I believe we've got some friends next door.
Coming out on their balconies.
And if everything goes according to plan, the flight attendants and college co-eds will move in soon.
And I should point out that spring is just around the corner.
That's right.
Very, very good. Well, congratulations. Excellent bullhorn work. I mean, really. And then we finished them off with the...
They're done.
Now, the question is, will they come back before the end of the show?
I guarantee they'll be back before we start Buzz's News in a second here. You got to get us some better artillery.
We need some firecrackers.
Because the problem was not the wind.
Blame my grandfather. That's where I got them.
Okay. Listen, no offense. You don't want to get your supplies from your grandpa who just passed away. And how old was Big Daddy?
He was 92.
Okay, so we're using fireworks from a 92-year-old.
We have to get illicit fireworks that can be found on the black market.
How about, it's always color with you.
Or yes, it is, of course.
Yeah. Something that fires at them, like a Roman candle.
Well, no, we're fine. The bang worked. We just need more. You know, just keep them out. And you know, after we've exhausted this little bit on the radio, you know, when we're out there in Cancer Corner, just to, you know, take a little firecracker out, throw it out into the street, boom, they're gone for the evening.
Open the door, throw it in the chiropractor's office, you know, as a gesture of goodwill.
Howdy, Doc.
We need some more M80s, though, because those are the babies that really make it happen.
They have the real resonance, and they have the real thunderous boom that got rid of the last two crows.
And because we are nothing like Vin Scully, who used to paint pictures with his words.
Probably don't understand what happened. Don was staring up at the crows with a bullhorn, screaming at the building.
But at one point, like Rob said to me, yeah, this is safe. when both Mike and I were huddled around Rob as he attempted to light an M80. Now, this M80...
I mean, if we were standing so close that if something had happened, we would have gotten chunks of Rob's finger in our eye.
Sure.
That's right. We would have blown up real good.
It would have been horrible.
It would have been blind.
Talk about a short fuse.
Put our eyes out with Rob's fingernails.
That thing had a fuse about you know, like a baby's penis.
Like a half an inch.
Just tiny.
Very just small. Just meant to blow fingers off. But those other fireworks, those other firecrackers,
oh my God. You know,
from like Tombstone.
It's like, really, it's like he brings out these little tubes full of dust and lines up with these.
Now, can you get firecrackers anywhere?
I mean, you can.
I mean, those roadside stands around here.
You can get them in the state of Pennsylvania. You can get them in the state of Maryland.
Right.
I don't think Maryland. I think you get South Carolina.
I think there are places in Maryland.
I've seen places in Pennsylvania, too. Big stores. That aren't like the roadside shacks. Does anybody know? I mean, I'm sure people
know. In the state of Virginia, you can buy a handgun.
We can try that.
Joe Ardinger has come into the studio.
Out. Howdy, Joe.
Shocker. He might have some insight.
Joe. Phantom fireworks in Pennsylvania. John knows of a place up in far, far Maryland. Ohio, South Carolina, I believe Nevada.
We got to go to the Buzz News
Tennessee.
Hour. Here is the plan.
All right.
For you guys. Joe, hold on a second. You're involved in this. First, get us a mass quantity of M80s. Second, get us a friend over in that building. Because Mike was absolutely right.
That's where you want to attack from.
And as a matter of fact, one day we should do at least, if not the whole show, do a couple of breaks from somebody's, the big...
Living room. Right. Yeah, do a little PR at the condo.
If not from the living room, right out on their deck. Right.
Think of the fun we can have. And maybe we should call Ron Jeremy, too.
And more importantly...
You can play the harmonica.
If we got up on one of those high-rise decks... We could throw the M80s and actually throw the M80s on top of the birds.
I have an idea. They probably have a community bulletin board, and we can advertise for
them. What a wonderful idea to make some friends.
Don and Mike's show needs some friendly neighbors.
That's right. The Don and Mike show looking for friends.
All right, get on that, boy.
Very good.
Right away.
Just think, it's like having our own neighborhood, only it's stacked on top of one another.
Or would you rather handle it, Buzz?
Oh, hey, if you don't mind, I'd like to help. Buzz actually wouldn't need to put anything up on the bulletin board at all. Buzz is more of a door-to-door guy.
Yeah, I'll hang out in the lobby.
Like Buzz has not been over there already every single day.
I live here. Can I help you with those groceries?
Very nice.
The Buzz News Hour is coming right up. Oh, we're great, but that's the wrong table.
This is the Don and...
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Gilman in for a long night.
Feels good.
Doesn't it feel nice?
Yes.
In the words of Borat, Wawa, Wawa.
Way over the line, guys. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, my good friend Rob. Where's the melody?
Yeah, where is the melody?
And now here is Buzz of the News Hour. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Hi there.
Well, as you may have heard, the week got off to a nervous start in New York City. Here's the story. At around 9 a.m. from Midtown Battery Park, people started calling the fire department to report a bad smell. Bad even for New York. Trains were stopped. Macy's was evacuated. People were advised to stay indoors. The people who work at NBC's 30 Rock say indoors was where it was the worst. It turned out to be, apparently...
Could Al Roker have something bad to eat?
It could have been. They still haven't found the source of what seems to be a natural gas leak. That's still what it smells like. Tests have turned up nothing toxic, nothing terroristic.
Oh, hold on. Here's where the gas leak came from.
Taking money out of her big fat ass would be probably something that's very easy.
Hi, Rosie. Here she blows. The fire department and the utility company, Con Ed, were working all day to find the source of the leak.
Oh, see, I thought they found it.
Now, quoting the mayor, we're waiting for the gas to pass. The smell may have come from New Jersey, where 7 people went to the hospital, but they're okay.
Well, that would follow.
Part of Jersey City, to be exact. Part of downtown Austin, Texas, as Mike mentioned earlier, was also closed off this morning after the appearance of dozens of dead birds near the Capitol building.
Now, this is what you ought to be scared of.
Silly kids. The birds outside that we just scared away.
Yep.
They're back.
They're back.
Oh, back. No. We have to get some higher grade explosives.
Clearly.
And we've got to get some friends in the high rise next door.
We do, so we can bomb the birds
from above. Air quality tests were being conducted in Austin to see the cause. They've also tested over 5 dozen birds. So far, they don't think it's bird flu or anything else that's harmful to humans. Experts say sometimes a lot of birds die. It could, as someone's mentioned, have been a case of poisoning as well.
In our case, sometimes they just come back to roost.
There have been two separate security scares at the Port of Miami in the last 2 days, both of them amounting to nothing. The first involved a miscommunication yesterday as three Arabic men who didn't have their papers with them were stopped while bringing the automotive parts into the port.
Gee, weren't they working at a sporting goods store on Saturday?
It turns out all three.
Or today? Oh, did I go to that store today?
And you get closer and closer.
Who ordered this carburetor? All three, as it turns out, are legal citizens. Today, a shipment of fire sprinklers for a Royal Caribbean cruise ship tested positive for traces of C4 explosive. This does not mean the shipment contained any explosive. In fact, officials say it's probably just an anomaly.
We could use some of that for the birds.
Still,
imagine that. We just wrap it around the trunk of the tree. Take out the tree, but sometimes you got to, you know, you got to destroy life to make your life better.
That's like the Mission Impossible stuff where you just, right? It's like Play-Doh and you just push it against the big bank vault you need to open up. And then you go away and you push the button.
And they're scavenger birds. So you shape it like a half a hamburger, and you just put it under the tree. As soon as one lights on it, boom!
In Miami, they contained that suspicious shipment and then blew it up real good. If it weren't for the gas leak, this...
Yeah, can I just ask you a question?
Sure.
Because you say, you know, the gas leak, I think that's whatever. That's much ado about nothing.
Right.
And the birds, yeah, birds do die.
Right.
But this is like the explosive that's used to blow things up real good, and then they blew it up. How can that be an anomaly?
An initial test turned up a trace. These tests are not always reliable.
Okay, so it might not be C4 explosive.
It might have been absolutely nothing at all.
Okay.
And apparently it was. We'll never know because whatever it is blown up now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it weren't for the gas leak and these other incidents, this would have been our lead story.
What's that?
NASA finds life on Mars and kills it. A geology professor at Washington State University says the Viking space probes of the mid-70s...
Ran it over?
Went looking kind of, yeah. They went looking for the wrong kind of life. Those probes were looking for microbes containing salt water, a basic element of life here on Earth.
Not with your firecrackers, Rob. Martians would live through those.
But
we have equipped the Mars lander with contraceptive jelly.
But new photographs of Mars indicate that water occasionally does flow on that planet.
Do not touch me with that yourself.
So this scientist says hydrogen peroxide may be the basis for life on Mars.
You'll see the pictures we're getting back from the Tenactin 5 that is sending these back.
You know, chemicals like
that. Please, anything but summer's eve.
Might actually be welcome on Mars.
Yo, man.
This scientist is advising NASA to look for hydrogen peroxide when it sends its next probe instead of salt water later this year.
We're very excited here at NASA. We'd like to thank RAID for getting on board with this project. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
The scientist says heat from the Viking space probes of the 70s may have killed alien microbes in that visit.
Of course, led by Fran Tarkenton.
The Vikings.
Vikings from the 70s.
Right? You will always think of him as a Viking. I will always think of him as a giant.
He was a giant twice.
Yeah, he was a giant twice, right at the end and you know, during the Ali Sherman era.
All right, well, then I'll change it. Alan Page.
Alan Page. Now, there's a Viking. Carl Eller. There's a Viking.
There's a Viking. Joe Capp.
Joe Capp.
There's
Mr. Viking.
I'm glad somebody pays attention to this stuff.
Buzz, name a Viking.
I can't.
Name either a Viking.
Tarkenton's the only one.
Either a Viking from fiction or a member of the Minnesota Vikings.
I can't think of any.
You had Alan Page, right?
Oh, yeah.
I had Carl Eller. You had Joe Capp.
Oh,
I may be out of
there's
Viking.
The most famous Viking I can't pull to mind right now.
Chris Carter, Amon Rashad, whatever name he had.
Modern Viking.
Bobby Moore.
Slightly more modern.
The Vikings.
There you go.
That's good.
Was there a Eugene right. Washington who was a Viking receiver?
I don't think so.
All right.
Although speaking of, Fred Smoot.
Yes.
Speaking of Vikings, although it's not really a Viking, I love the new Capital One commercial where the heathen is going through the aisles of a store and he has a dead deer carcass in his grocery cart.
Right.
And you see,
I haven't seen it.
You see the four legs as he's pushing the thing up and down the aisle. I mean,
what's in your wallet?
It'll never make me use that credit card.
No.
But those are great commercials. And also, the newest Geico commercial. Have you seen the one with the cavemen?
Where he's in the airport?
No, that's the first one.
Okay.
The second one is the one where he's talking to the psychologist.
No.
Where he says, that's my mom, I'll put it on speaker. There's a third one I saw yesterday during the Patriots game, a brand new one, where they're at a party at a high rise, and there's like disco music playing, And one of the cavemen is outside, and his friend comes up and says, hey, come on, man, you're really all letting us down. And he says, what? Just because I bought my insurance from Geico? Just because it's so easy a caveman can do it?
Another caveman that talks?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's a trend. I like that.
And that's almost like a statement about how bad television is now, that you can look at a 30-second ad and really be excited about it and go, hey, that's funny.
And isn't it time for Geico to get rid of the gecko completely now? I mean, really, go with the caveman.
Enough.
Run it into the ground.
That is a good agency. Whoever has Geico, whoever does the Geico ads, because remember they
started... That is a rich agency.
Sure. They started the whole trend. Remember like the little house ad where you didn't know it was for Geico?
Right.
And all the cavemans. And they've done like 8,000 really good ones. They've got the one that I love with Peter Graves.
I would assume, with the actors, Vern Troyer's and another one where they do that. I think that may be, it would have to be up there in the top five of advertising budgets
and
as far as
weekend,
how much advertising they do.
This weekend, the Little Richard one started again, which I can't see enough of.
Oh, look out! Look out!
Love it.
All good and all like in a lot of different areas, except for that little gecko, which I cannot stand.
It's an art form when it's done right.
I don't like the one where he's being interviewed like on a talk show.
No, it sucks.
I want to keep my private life, has it?
Yeah. Cavemen and the actors. I like
check out the new caveman, though, the one where they're having the party. Really, really good.
And then there's that one guy they use in the caveman makeup that has the look.
Yeah.
And he's the one they use in the airport. And I love that guy.
And in the airport spot, you know what really helps out as well is that stupid song that they play.
Yeah, it's a very mellow song.
Everywhere I go. Do.
Yeah, they sweat the details. Usually good ads have that detail in them.
All right. I'm glad somebody pays attention to this stuff.
That's a good segue, Buzz.
Thank you.
It was just like, you know what you just said? It's like a school teacher almost.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Like,
all right.
Okay, Don and Mike, you're having a little too much fun now. Let's get back to today's lesson.
It's enough fun for now.
All right.
Oil prices dropped over 8% in the last week, but the average price of gasoline went up a third of a penny. Last week's 8% drop in oil prices, the biggest drop in nearly a year, and instead of going down, gas prices actually ticked upward 3 cents in the last 3 weeks. And by the way, the last time oil prices were at Friday's closing price of $55 a barrel, the price of gas was $2.05, not the $2.25 average we're paying now.
Yeah, they're sneaky.
There must be a rational explanation.
What is it you're complaining about, 0.3 cents?
No, 3 cents in the last 3 weeks. Gas prices have gone up while oil prices, which they make the gasoline out of, have been going down.
Please, I ask pennies. Are you kidding? That's nothing to me.
I know.
I think to everybody that's nothing.
Well, not to everybody.
I think Georgia was asking pennies.
It adds up.
Homeless people.
It has something to do with that gas. I bet.
Yeah.
Certainly. We do have news about the Geico ads.
Okay.
Andrew.
What's up, fellas?
Howdy, Andrew.
How you doing?
Very well.
All right, yeah, it's the Martin agency down in Richmond that does the Geico ads.
Oh, they're out of Richmond.
That is surprising that something that clever comes out of Richmond, Virginia.
Fantastic.
Isn't it, though?
Those must
right
be people
in our backyard.
They got to be people that were bussed into Richmond.
Wow. Yeah, they have to be transplants.
Yeah.
Well, they natives impossible.
They all smoke.
They sure couldn't be people that work at Q94. I'll tell you that.
they're not
King's Dominion employees.
No.
Excuse me, Gang's Dominion employees.
Certainly nobody that worked at WRVA.
Rich man. Okay, bye-bye. See you later.
Thank goodness GM's coming out with an electric car in a few more years. General Motors proudly unveiled a prototype yesterday, the Chevrolet Volt. Plug it in, charge it up, and it's good for 40 miles at speeds of up to 100 miles an hour.
Oh, I seen a car at the car show on TV.
40 miles?
Yeah.
40 miles sucks. We're still working on it. It uses this new car, lithium-ion battery, same as your cell phone, little or no gasoline. The battery's also...
Cell phone battery? That's a powerful car.
It's like a big cell phone battery. The batteries also get very, very hot, just like your cell phone, which is why car makers have been leery about using them.
I know a lot of times at these auto shows...
Right.
...that you see cars that are dream cars, conception cars.
Cool.
They showed... You know, I got excited about the new Mustang and never really did anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see the new convertible Camaro.
The new old convertible Camaro?
Looks like
a retro one? Yeah.
Looks like a 69 Camaro.
And I think they're going to put a big-ass engine in it, too.
Yeah, you know how Camaros were really cool around 69 or 70?
Yeah. Trans Am era.
For a long time afterwards.
Sometime in the mid-70s, they started stretching out the Camaro and making it longer, making it more Batmobile-like.
Trying to make it more like a vet.
Oh, this new thing is killer. This new Camaro looks so sweet.
And there's, I think you can get a supercharged one, too. Go on, get it.
The Volt is not GM's first attempt at an electric car. It's first, the EV1. Made it into a few showrooms when it was introduced 6 years ago.
What?
But the EV1 just never took off.
That's
us. GM says it also plans to offer hybrid.
Look out!
Hybrid versions soon.
Hot wires, watch out, bud.
Several of his other models. It's only 100 hours, but it seems like an eternity. The Democrats swept into control of Congress last week with an ambitious list of goals for their first 100 hours.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
We'll talk about that when we return.
Okay, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I'll just be your secret lover.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I would love to make wild, passionate love to you.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I'd let you in just so I could kill you on top of it.
Whoa.
Hey, dude was jumping in early there.
Everything, turn off for a second.
And thanks for the Christmas card, but dude.
Give me 1 second, everybody. Hold on a second. Let me start this whole thing up again. Let me see.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, one guy.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Hi there.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Right.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
There we go.
Theater of the Mindless. The Don and Mike Show.
Are you amused, Oprah?
I'm really truly amused by that.
Thank you. Once again, here's Buzz. Hi there, guy.
Hi, Don and Mike. And the Democrats took control of Congress last week with the ambitious list of goals for their first 100 hours. Along the way, they mentioned that meant the first 100 working hours, which are ticking by more slowly than anyone expected. After last week's ceremonious takeover, it was suddenly the weekend, and today
weekend. 40 hours lost a party.
And now the lawmakers have taken today off because of the Ohio State and University of Florida football game. And now we're hearing...
There's your first 100 hours now, see?
And now we're hearing that President Bush plans to set a timetable for Iraq, a series of goals for the new Iraqi government to meet. We're still hearing that the president plans to temporarily send up to 20,000 more troops to try to stabilize things. But even our second-in-command in Iraq says that won't work, that it could take several more years to stabilize Iraq, in the meantime stretching our troops to the limit. Democratic presidential hopeful Joe Biden says the president can leave U.S. troops in Iraq forever if he wants to, and that there's little anyone can do about it constitutionally.
Joe Biden can eat one.
Democratic lawmakers are promising no more.
Not that I'm against his position.
Right. Just don't like the guy.
I'm just tired of his comb over, whatever's going on with his hair.
You don't like him personally,
Mr. Delaware, smallest state. Get out of here.
He's kind of cocky.
You know, and he's always there. He's a guy who, like, the last...
I like him, though. I do.
The last three or four elections is always, I might run for president. I'm Joe Biden. I'll do all the...
You think he's a little hate?
I'll do all of the interviews while no one else is stepping up to say they're going to throw their hat in the ring. It's me, Joe Biden. What's that? You got a problem with me, Matt Lauer? What's happening with me? I'm Joe Biden. I'm from Delaware, the first state.
You don't like him.
Look at my hair.
Like Joe Biden.
No, I don't.
Wow.
No, I don't. I never knew. I don't. And again, not his politics.
Right. Just the guy.
You just don't like his personality. His persona.
Smell his aftershave through the TV. I really can't. Hey, I'm Joe Biden. How you doing?
He's kind of slick.
You ever been to Delaware? Tiny, tiny state. It's my state.
Not an actual.
I run that state.
Who are you?
I'm Joe Biden. I'm Joe effing Biden.
I'm Jim Lampley.
How you doing? I'm Joe Biden. Run for president every single year. How you doing?
Democratic lawmakers are promising no more blank checks for the president's war efforts. No checks without justification, anyway.
Yeah, as long as Joe Biden's on the case.
As Senator Barack Obama told Mr. Bush, this is your war, Mr. President.
Joe freaking Biden, good morning. I fill time until the real guys are going to run for office come out and do these interviews.
Senator Biden, will you be running for president?
Of course, every year. Look at my hair. Smell me.
Smallest state, Delaware. The first state. I'm Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. Very, very, like, variation on a theme with that's very Tommy Mottola without the accent. I like that. I enjoy that.
I tried to work it up for you. I'm Tommy Mottola. Even I'm Joe Biden.
You wad-faced bitch!
Even Republican senators are saying they won't support the surge in troops. Even the neon reddest of the red states doesn't support it. A new survey in
O'Mara.
Yeah.
Let's have breakfast in Dover.
Who are you?
Joe Biden!
Oh, of course, yes. The first state.
Yeah.
A new survey in Utah shows support for the president's war handling there has fallen below 50% for the first time ever. Only 41% of Utah's voters support it now. The president detailed his plan Wednesday night at 9 Eastern on TV. Supermodel sex video.
Screw-taw, as Rob calls it. Screw-taw.
This break in the heavy stuff brought to you by YouTube. Having a lot of the legal troubles that Mark Cuban predicted.
Why doesn't YouTube put more naughty stuff on there?
I don't know.
They just got in trouble over the weekend for putting some sex. Is this the story?
Sort of like that, yeah, as a matter of fact. I mean, I've noticed that some of the videos, you have to be a member, you have to be 18 and older.
You have to put I agree, you know, right. I agree to go in and look at the naughty stuff.
However, you can find that Saddam stuff that I was looking for. It's everywhere. I mean,
no problem.
You want to see that rope go right around his neck? Help
Bingo.
Yourself.
Mm-hmm. But did you understand what I said to you with even the complete cell phone thing? As soon as they drop him, it's not like you see him go down and then land at the bottom. They kind of scurry around a little bit, and it's kind of panic, and then you see his
head. You see him, him kind of swaying back and forth.
Kind of swaying back and forth, yeah.
Well, YouTube, now owned by Google, has been ordered by a judge in Brazil to block a sex video featuring swarthy supermodel Daniela Ciccarelli.
What's her name?
Daniela Ciccarelli.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I like looking at on YouTube?
Daniela Ciccarelli?
No, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden? He's from the first state.
Delaware,
small state.
This is the first lawsuit that doesn't have anything to do with copyright against YouTube. This one is about invasion of privacy. That's what a Brazilian judge says anyway. YouTube can't just block the video in Brazil as ordered. It's a worldwide web.
That'd be quite a waxing.
So
YouTube, that'd be a Brazilian
wow.
Wax.
So YouTube's trying to keep the video off its pages, but users keep reposting it under different names. As lovely as Daniela Ciccarelli is, this one will be hard to stop. It's gone, viral.
Ew. And how many times have you seen everybody's ripping YouTube and MySpace off?
Yeah, a lot.
When you even see, like, on the NBC station here in D.C., they say, like, don't forget for up to the minute news and weather, go to our website. And you can, as if they're rewriting the record books now, you can actually put your own videos on my video page on news4.com.
Yeah, this is right after they got excited about it. And you could vote right now. Immediately. Yeah. It's immediate. Internet.
The National Rifle Association never saw this day coming.
Yeah.
The day they might be forced to stand against a Republican president.
NRA all the way, Buzz.
The NRA doesn't weigh in much on environmental issues, but it's sounding more like the World Wildlife Federation the way it's going on about what Bush is doing to our natural wilderness.
I tell you, NRA, take care of them birds outside.
Hi, this is Wendell Hall. In all this excitement, I sort of forgot myself.
Yeah.
This is a Smith & Wesson 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world. So what you've got to be asking yourself is, do you feel lucky?
Gurgle.
Well, do you, punk?
Gurgle.
Good luck.
Gurgle.
Good luck. Wendell Hall.
So the NRA is concerned about the wilderness, you know, places you'd want to go to shoot animals. The NRA's complaint is what environmentalists have been saying for years about this president's habit of turning protected parklands into oil and gas fields. Quoting an NRA executive, the Bush administration has placed more emphasis on oil and gas than on access rights for hunters.
Mr. Cheney, that went right through my lip.
He says,
I'm Joe Biden. I approve of this message.
The NRA executive says it's harder to get to public land if you're a hunter because there's so much less public land to get to.
Hey, you know what hunt rhymes with?
Yes, I do.
Still one of my favorite taboo words. Ooh.
It's all...
Ooh, Sahib. It's sometime before September of 2008.
Yes.
We'll throw that one out there.
Oh, good. It's part of the nation's new energy policy. It's engineered by Vice President Cheney.
That segment brought to you by Dom Wants to Scare Mike.
I just looked at Mike, like, hey, come on, how about it?
Did you see everybody jump up and go, yeah?
Let's say the C word on
the
radio.
Say it on a regular basis. Right.
And everyone else. A court in Ontario has ruled that a 5-year-old boy can legally have a father and two mothers. The boy's second mommy is his biological mommy's new partner. The boy's father is said to be a friend of both women and takes an active role in the boy's upbringing. He stood in the way of the boy's new additional mommy, though, from becoming a legal adoptive parent.
Huh?
Now, this way, under this new arrangement with two mommies and a daddy, legally speaking...
This is one guy with two chicks.
This is one kid who has one daddy and two mommies.
Okay, but how did the daddy end up with two chicks?
He didn't. Mommy left daddy.
So this is
daddy.
Are we talking legalese here?
Yes, I've been
saying
that all along.
I mean, as opposed to like a stepfather or
right.
a stepmother.
Right.
Now they're all like legal guardians.
All three are legal parents.
I think that's
right.
Crap.
What does the man's semen have to do with this?
He and the boy's biological mother created the boy.
Okay, so then, okay, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Now,
and then the woman that is now his girlfriend...
No, not his girlfriend. Mommy's girlfriend.
Mommy's girlfriend.
So mommy is bi.
Or perhaps has converted entirely.
Card-carrying lesbian.
Right.
And so mommy's girlfriend or mommy's wife.
Yes.
Gets to be a legal guardian too.
Right.
Oh boy.
So hence a daddy and two mommies.
Crazy.
This way.
Boy.
Come knock on our door. For a guy and a girl and a lesbian. And a boy.
A boy.
Tripper, what did you put in this stew? Under this arrangement, the new mom can make it legal, and the dad gets to keep his legal connection to the boy. A Canadian Catholic organization is outraged, quoting a spokesman.
Are you booing Canadian Catholics?
They're the worst kind.
Oh, you.
Not only are they bad, but they're going to attack.
Quoting a Canadian Catholic spokeswoman, what's so magical about three? Maybe there could be more. A man responsible for keeping a lot of college students alive has died.
Who's that?
Momofuku Ando.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Momofuku Ando.
Semi going at AU.
He's done a lot for my son at Clemson.
I'll bet he has.
He's
the guy who invented instant ramen noodles. When Japan,
you're not kidding that, really.
Japan was faced with food shortages after World War II. Perhaps you remember it. Momofuku Ando introduced chicken ramen in 1958 and cup noodle in 1971. For decades, those same noodles sustained American college students and still do today. Ando lived to be 96. You may honor him at the Instant Ramen Museum in Western Japan.
How long does it take to cook them?
Like a minute.
Well, I'll shut this one out to... Unforgettable. Didn't know where the vocal was.
Yeah.
The intro
quite long.
That's a good one, everybody, right here. It's always sunny at 103. Come to think of it, that's a little hot. Speaking of hot, here's one sweet and sour.
Unforgettable.
Superstar.
In every way.
You know, that's a hard one to hit.
That is. So really, you want to try it?
It is, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike of the Afternoon playing your favorite mellow, beautiful music hits in for Peter Marshall. I'd take this opportunity to send out a beautiful song to my friend Joe Biden. No, you can't.
It's hard.
Leaves you hanging.
Unforgettable.
Okay, hold on. One more time. I'll give it a try now. How you doing, everybody down in Miami? Are we still on that station, incidentally?
AM 640.
How do you used to play? Are we still on? Anybody know?
I don't know.
Yes. Play this one right now. Give away a shovel of dirt. Caller number 7. Call me at 555-DEAD.
Unforgettable.
Bravo.
Close.
Very good.
Right. Close.
Very tough.
Jackie Chan. This is amazing. Amazing. Crazy Asian.
And forevermore.
The man who invented Roman noodles.
Roman numerals.
Super Bowl XXVII.
The guy that invented Roman numerals is dead.
Jackie Chan.
Right, Dave in Rome. Saddam Hussein's trial for genocide began this morning, but since he's already dead, all the charges against him were dropped.
Genocide.
There's a guy with a good lawyer. His co-conspirators still face those same charges. And a guy up in Maine is under a court order to stay out of Victoria's Secret stores for the next 6 years.
My God, do I like these goddamn corsets. There's nothing I like than putting on one of these double-hitching bras. front and back. You can pop it right back open. Man, what do you mean I can't come in?
This guy is only 23 years old.
How are you?
Already he's banned from Victoria's Secret.
I was wondering if I could see your selection of fine crotchless panties.
How old are you, young man?
I'm 23. Yes, sir. Nothing I like better than hanging out in Victoria's Secret when I'm in Maine.
You sound older.
Hey, yo.
This ban from Victoria's Secret is part of his probation after he did hard time for burglary.
Let me ask you this. Can I fit into this, Teddy? I'll go in your dressing room. I won't bother you at all. Jesus Christ, don't I look good in these nylons?
This guy who was banned can neither use nor own women's underwear for the next 6 years.
Oh, boy, that's a total ripoff. I am damn upset about that. I want all my lingerie and my under things. My unmentionables, as I like to call them.
He's been breaking into houses and taking lacy little things. He also stole tampons and a man's thong.
I've been a big fan ever since Cindy Crawford did the ads.
His legal name, Nick Leathers.
Nick Leathers here. I'm in Maine, going to Victoria's Secret. And by golly, these under things are sure soft.
Oh, he also has to stay away from kids.
Thank you.
Finally, a New Hampshire man says he has the video of his son getting slugged by the guy in the Tigger suit at Disney's MGM Studios in Orlando, Florida.
New Hampshire, same accent.
I saw this on TV a million times.
Right?
The Tigger, he is not slugging it. First off, he's got the big stupid paw with three fingers on it.
Soft paw.
The kid is like jimmying with the character's arm.
Choking him, apparently.
And all the character does is kind of push him out of the way. He doesn't.
And now they're filing a lawsuit?
Oh, yeah.
Of course they
probably
are.
Probably positioning
good
themselves,
for you.
Too.
Good for you.
Disney,
good for you.
Disney says the performer's been suspended while the incident's investigated. The guy says his tape only tells part of the story, so already he's hedging.
I'm on the side of the guy in the suit.
Amen. A little over 2 years ago, another guy dressed as Tigger was cleared of charges. He felt up a 13-year-old girl who was posing for photos at Disney World.
Feels good.
Feel nice?
Yes.
There he is. Still better than going to see Oprah, a woman suing her for $50,000. She says she got trampled in the rush for seats at a taping.
I'm really truly amused by that.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh. Well, thank you, Buzz. We gotta go.
We will see you tomorrow. With a new episode, everybody, okay?
All right.
Ron Jeremy's Hot Sauce is all we got to promote today. Good day to you, sir.
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 And head?
Remember the Arizona.
Don't hurt me.
This is the Don and Mike Show.